want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wait.
I got a little bit. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Turn that radio down. How many times, how many years have you been listening?
Oh, about 6 months. Oh, wait. Let me,
if you don't turn it down, I'm going to the next call. But anyway, what is your
I just want to talk about the position in the White House staff that's above Condoleezza Rice that you were mentioning.
Right. I couldn't think of the name, and it was coming off the top of my head, but it was newly created under this administration.
Yes. His name is Don Geronimo, and he's above the National Security Advisor. So he's the go-between. And his claim to fame is that he has big, hairy balls, actually, and he tickles Mike O'Mara's taint on occasion.
Well, let me tell you that. Since you know all that, maybe that's where you should stick. And I think I've heard your voice before, and that's how you smell.
How often do you fart?
And as you see, people get ignorant by the call.
The Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
What you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they will.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, I hate that. Last night at Baby Robert's first birthday party, I was there along with all the other godfathers. I brought him like a stuffed animal. They brought him a mobile.
Was that Vito Corleone there?
No, it was that thing that you put over the baby's crib.
Yeah, you wind it up and it goes around in circles.
Little pieces of a Hindenburg. They brought the gift.
My God, never forget.
Right. Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
You tell me how much I can tell.
Okay, you can tell pretty much everything, I think.
Okay.
Some of the pieces on the mobile were chime. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rigid Airship, and all the ships at sea. Hey, they have both been married without the aid of VH1. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And I thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Wednesday, October 1st.
Right.
And you should have said this already. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Ah, yeah, you always remember to say that.
You should have said that.
Here's my watch right now.
Here is the phone number for you to call from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636 from Canada. Go ahead, call. Rob screens every day, but call at 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., your hotline is 202-432-1067. And now here is Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up. Did you wash that?
Someone called. Oh, my. What happened there?
Too much music. Not enough end.
I liked it.
Okay.
What time do you have exactly?
It's kind of a train wreck.
Someone call for a doctor?
Mike, it's 4 minutes and 30 seconds past the hour.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is during that segment, I was resetting my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Mike was resetting his watch, and Buzz was resetting his watch.
Yes.
But really, I guess it was me screwing up
at the end there because I was doing something when I thought you would be filling, and you were not filling. You were looking at your watch.
Can't somebody come up with a watch that knows when the months are shorter? Oh, you got one?
You got it, Rob.
The digital one.
You need to. It will cost you $12, but it is a Fossil brand watch.
Well, it's better than this piece of junk.
You want to trade?
No.
All right,
no.
Goodbye. Get out of here. Does anybody else hear that?
I do.
Yeah, something's wrong with our audio chain.
It's this board. It's been doing it for about a year now. I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. It just goes occasionally for no reason at all.
Is that board old? That board?
Oh, God, it was built in the 50s. Are you kidding me?
I'm looking around at everything I've got over here on my side of the glass. But I was making sure, okay, no microphone is turned up. No, nothing's.
Nope.
No, it's.
No, it's this piece of crap.
Okay. As opposed to on this side.
Yeah.
To this piece of crap. Okay, we got a lot to get to today on the show. First, thank you for listening. First order of business. We've decided because we're having a, not trouble, but we want to get the right place for the Tom Gavin Titty Bar bet. It will happen 1 week from tonight.
Do we know where it's going to be yet?
No. There are, as it turns out, perhaps I'm wrong again.
Not again.
Yes.
How are you boys doing today?
We're fine.
We work together great.
All we're right. fine. I mean,
I just want you to know, I'm still watching you.
You know that
he just presented his buttocks.
Oh, that other thing that happened yesterday, I've had more people ask me about that than anything we've done. Well,
sure.
Were you really fighting with Charlie? Yes. Did you really quit? Yes. I joined another league yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I joined another league where I made sure that the guy who was the commissioner was not also a participant.
Uh-huh.
Where there's a...
So, one of those leagues on the internet that has the... Just a guy that... There's that thing.
There's again. That buzz noise again. Yeah, that's...
That has, like, an administrator for the league, right?
Right. Oh. So you guys continue with the... You know, I can't... Yeah. See, Charlie, you don't have headphones on. You can't hear it.
Pretty annoying.
Just as I'm about to try to say something, we hear this...
Yeah.
Smoot's around. I saw Smoot floating around today.
Anyway, if you want to go to the new league I'm in, it's the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's a league.
Bottom thing. Were you setting that whole thing up for a joke?
Yeah. Charlie and I are fine. No, but I am really in another league now, and I'm happy. A league of their own. That's what I'm in. A league of my own. Anyway, Charlie and I are fine.
Yeah, I understand that, off the coast of Florida, there are 20,000 leagues.
But they're under the sea, Mike.
Thank you.
Charlie, you came in because...
Jesus. I'm drafting a long set of rules right now.
Ah.
For the league?
Yep.
Okay, good. Then everybody else will be able to have the last 10 weeks of the season be fair and square.
And there's nothing that'll get you back into the fold?
Uh-uh. Sorry. I just think I got dicked around. I mean, I'm fine. I still like Charlie. I like working with him. I didn't want to start the show like this.
Yeah.
I had another thought to start the show.
Crystal City Restaurant.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right.
Wonderful. That's the place. So that is next Wednesday night, right? Thanks. Next Wednesday night. So we've thrown it out there so you guys have more than just, 5 hours to get ready for it. Next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, Crystal City Restaurant, Crystal City, Virginia.
Very exciting.
Cool. We'll be there. We'll do the thing. We'll pick the spot where I'll drive Tom down.
Yes.
And he'll spend time with me in the automobile. And we'll tape it, and then I'll sit at the table with the titty bar with him for an hour.
A good time will be had by all.
Yes, we absolutely are planning on taping the entire thing. So, fantasy football notwithstanding, the other bit of a titter we got into on yesterday's show was with TV star Leah Remini.
Yes.
And I know that we're getting calls about this, so we're going to address this right now. I believe I speak for myself, for everybody on this show. We're horrified, shocked.
Oh, this is devastating.
We're hurt. You think you know somebody.
Yeah, you think somebody's a friend.
And then, because you have a misunderstanding about, boy, Buzz, that thing is driving us nuts.
Yeah, me too.
You have an opinion about, a rather self...
Wendell?
Yeah.
You know, we may have to do the unthinkable. We may have to move him in here, Mike. We don't have to shoot.
Rob.
The unmentionable is not
Rob,
killing
Rob, show him what you just did.
We may have to do the unthinkable, the unmentionable, and Rob was indicating that we'd have to kill Buzz.
Buzz is just kicking the dickens out of his console.
I've been hearing this for 9 months now. Apparently, it's just now started to bleed into the control room.
Someone has nothing to do with this. Joe. Hi, Joe.
I've been told that whatever you're hearing is not on the air. And Wendell's upstairs fixing something else.
That's what they've been telling me for 9 months.
Joe.
But they've been lying to you, Buzz.
Ah.
Well, you know, even if it's something that just we're hearing, and it's like a poltergeist sound. It's not one of those weird, high-pitched things. It's really a...
Yeah.
And if...
Spooky.
Then drop that room, and I'll bite the bullet. Come in here with us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Buzz, come in. Because it'll be impossible to do the show with that noise all day.
Finally. Finally, what I have been waiting for.
And, you know, he loves the sanctuary. Oh, Mike, now there's no need. What are you doing?
Well, what I'm doing is just accommodating somebody that I've wanted to have in here for years. But frankly, my prayers have been answered. He's always been over there, and now he's here.
I'm sorry.
My Hooters buddy.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. How you been?
I'm good.
No, just kidding.
Right.
No, I'm kidding.
No, he is.
Yeah. Don't be sensitive. It's fine.
No, he's kidding. Understand.
It's just, you know, for how long you been with us? 12 years now?
12 years, yeah.
Over 12
Welcome to all the inside jokes.
Well, look, in this room you get water. That's great.
Well, now the inside jokes have to go outside, though. Because he's here.
It'll be fine.
No, listen, Buzz, everybody is made fun of equally, and I know that you have it in you to rise to the, or rather lower yourself, to the level of this room during commercials.
This is a pretty evil... I think you're probably aware this is a pretty evil room.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've known that all along.
And but... I know that there are times, and I know that you know where you think you're the subject, but there are many times where you are not the subject.
Right, it's hard to tell, so I just assume always that I'm the subject.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. We have a wide variety of topics.
I know it's only like 50% of the time, but I just imagine it's all the time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Wendell Smoot Hall.
Hold on, here is Al who says he hears it on the air. Al.
Yes. Hi, Don and Mike.
Al, do you hear that noise on the air?
Yes, the second Wendell went in and said that you can't hear it on the air. You started hearing the...
That wasn't Wendell, that was Joe Ardinger.
So Joe, I'm
hearing
sorry.
Things in the first place.
Here is Wendell Smoot Hall. Hi, Smoot.
Hey, how you doing, Squirrel?
We're doing great.
What you got?
We've got this sound from Buzz's room.
Okay.
This low level.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone's got a... Sounds like this.
Do you want Buzz... Do you want Buzz to go back over there so Wendell can hear it now, since that's not up and running?
Boy, this is...
Or Wendell could...
It's just when you put up that room?
Well, the room's up all the time. I've got Buzz up all the time.
Do you have it up now?
No.
Would you?
There you go. It's up right now.
We'll just leave it there until it makes that sound again.
So this is... all right. You know, I'm not going to complain about this because we are...
I think we pull back the curtain and we...
We are being proactive.
Yes.
On this problem.
Would it be only when Buzz's mic is open, though?
Buzz?
Even when I have it potted down.
Rob is just... Rob, have a seat. Rob? Robbie, have a seat over there. Well, I want to tell you. Hey, Rob, would you have a seat in Buzz's room for the experiment?
All right, here we go. Because we have to recreate everything that's there.
And let me say, with no offense to Buzz, now my heart is broken.
I know it is.
I know.
Because...
And now I feel strangely complete. This world is topsy-turvy.
The boy is out of the room. I thought he was going to assume the position with...
Oh, he was getting headphones.
Hi.
Needed.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Robbie. All right, now, for those of you listening at home, and I know that number is dwindling, so we're going to keep this brief. Buzz has left his protective mayonnaise jar studio because there was a noise in there. He's in the studio, and Rob Spiewak is now sitting where Buzz sits.
I don't like it over here.
Tell me about it.
But look at, hey, Rob, the most beautiful room.
I don't like this at all.
I know, but think of this. Look what you have that you don't have in here.
Sanitation.
No. You have a microphone in front of you the entire time.
It's not worth it.
Oh, wow.
You look balder over there.
Thank you.
Radio God.
Yes. Al.
Al, have a wonderful, wonderful show.
Thanks, Al. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Well, now I'm not... Now
it hasn't happened at all. Yet.
With Rob sitting there, I don't hear it.
It could be my pacemaker.
Maybe it's all that hair.
Plus, are you doing anything when we're over there that Rob might not be doing?
Are you sure about that?
Are you one of those guys that has, like, the twitch with your leg or something when you're on the air?
No, not at all. No movement whatsoever.
Could be Buzz's electrical current in his body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rob, come on back over.
Good.
And Buzz?
Yes.
Go on back.
All right.
And Wendell?
Yes.
Why don't you just stay and monitor this with the headphones on here in the studio?
Yeah, take a seat, Wendell.
Have a seat. Take your shoes off.
No, that's not necessary. Man, I caught him right before he was going to whip them off.
And there is Buzz back in his room. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
And you know, in his own way, I'm sure this is probably what Wendell... There it is.
Now, what did you do?
The weirdest thing?
That was as soon as you sat down.
Buzz, did you do anything?
I bent over and picked up a pen. Let me reach down again and see what happened. Nope, no cause of
But effect. Wendell, did you hear that?
I heard that, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
I've been
That's
hearing that for nearly a year.
Here's the question. Did you guys hear that on the radio?
That was as loud as it gets.
You had to hear that
if
on the radio.
If you hear that, let's go to a call. Did you hear that?
Did you?
Who? Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear anything. You guys coming in clean and clear.
Okay. Hello. Oops. What am I doing?
Wendell, did you say he had to hear that? You had to hear that on the radio?
Yeah, but it would be 16 seconds later.
Don and Mike Show. Funny. Hello.
Right. Yeah, that guy.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Did you hear that?
I did not.
It was like four clicks. There it is again.
Mm-hmm. No, we've got to wait for the delay to catch up. Mm-hmm. Now all the phones are ringing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, good afternoon.
Did you hear it?
Yes, I did.
There it is
there
again.
It is again.
Click, click. The needles actually move when it does
You're
that.
You're seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Let me run
click,
over there with
Buzz. Click, click. You didn't hear that?
Come on over.
No, now it's like every time.
Click.
How come it didn't do it when Rob was in there?
I don't know.
Try to understand.
It requires a beating heart. I don't know.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
That's right.
Yeah,
it sounds
a little joke.
It sounds like some kind of electronic purring or something.
Electronic purring.
Yeah, it's real quiet, but it's there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay, so.
Like an electronic kitty.
All right, we'll work this out. Buzz is electronic pussy.
Yeah.
That's a good guy.
Oh, you know, they sell those all over America.
Electronic pussycat.
I'm trademarking that.
You've got your EP over there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's what we're going to... It just happened again.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, whatever's happened, it's coming to a head today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and now
Ooh.
Now we're talking, because now Wendell's ready to go into the console with Buzz sitting there.
Yeah, big
Now
boy.
You want to talk about a fantasy coming true. Here we go. Well,
fun stuff.
I've gone over this moment in my mind so many times.
That's right.
All right, let's see if we can hear anything now. And it appears to be... I think it sounds great.
I think you fixed it.
Me too. Oh, I see. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Click.
There you go.
That's all we needed.
That was the button I hit.
Sounds like it's fixed.
That was the one I hit. Okay. So I guess we're just...
Did you really fix it, Wendell?
Of course not.
No. Of course not.
You haven't
course
even
not
found it yet.
No, he didn't.
Let me try this.
Here's...
I did
now, Wendell, don't just pound on it.
I already tried that.
That works sometimes.
Yeah, well, it doesn't here.
Percussive maintenance.
It works sometimes.
Little Elmer's glue.
The mic.
What?
Every time you lean up and move closer to the mic.
No. It just, it's random.
I heard
random.
It right then when you moved up.
Oh, look, I'm there now. I'm laying on it.
Back. Forth.
Back.
For those of you that are not seeing this, Wendell is now giving Buzz a back massage.
Wendell's there getting Buzz to do all kinds of, like, move back, move forward, move back, move forward.
What are the exercises, Buzz, that you use to strengthen that area?
Kegel? Kegel exercises.
Kegel exercises.
Yes. Yes.
Do some Kegels.
All right.
See if
Maybe
that
you'll
works.
Come up with some clear number three. All right, Buzz. How you doing?
No, I'm not hearing myself.
What?
What?
I don't know. Now. Oh, hi there.
That's much better.
Okay.
That's
on
great.
On with the show.
Buzz, let me hear you again. I want to see if everything's working normally.
Testing. 1, 2. This is Buzz. Testing my microphone. Sounds better than ever.
All right, Buzz, so you are doing fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
You know, this type of thing with him, with his little punctuating statements there.
He's got to have more. Buzz, I know we're going to be talking about your lead story later today. We're not going to touch on it now because I know we're going to do a whole thing on it during the news.
Well, it's okay because I know a lot of people are talking about it already, and that's the controversy stirred up by Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, all right, turn it off. Okay.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's a good sound effect, dude. That's our broken record thing. That's the worst.
That is, I think, my favorite thing that we have. Yeah. The favorite piece of technology in here.
But we only pull it out, really, in case of special emergency like this.
Right.
When really the whole place is just falling apart, and we don't seem to know why.
Yeah. Remember that one day we put it on all our microphones? That was pretty crazy. That was like somebody having some sort of bad acid trip.
So while we continue to try to find out what the problem is with Buzz's room over there, and incidentally, the balance in here is perfect again now.
Yeah.
It
was just wrong.
It was me and Mike and Rob and Buzz over there. But Buzz, you should know, you're welcome during the commercials at any time to join us in here to goof on everybody else that we goof on.
I would like that.
And I'm going to give you an insight into this today. I'm going to lead into this with this thing about Leah Remini.
This is as hurtful and as damaging as it gets.
So we, I want to just say, well, ouch.
Ooh.
Medic, please.
Are we wounded?
Cause of injury, broken heart.
Ooh. Mortally wounded.
So here's the deal. She got her panties in a wad because we watched that ridiculous, self-promoting show where she put her marriage on television.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought about it, and I'll say this to her face, this has nothing to do with what I'm going to get to. The more I thought about it, I thought, really, the only people who do that are people who just have so much and just think, they really believe the hype, that they have to show off. You know, it's not enough to make a lot of money and have a TV show and have a good life. You got to put it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And you could say that, well, it's because, you know, people want to know. The fans want to know.
Mm. Right.
I would think the fans would want to know about Julia Roberts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, Nicole Kidman.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're clamoring for Patricia Heaton or
no.
Leah Remini or
Doris Roberts, though.
Or Bonnie Hunt or any of those gals. Mm. So that's where she's coming from on this, and that's fine. She's a celebrity. She's got a bit of a head trip right now. Good for her. You know, you're putting this show on TV. So we gave it our review on Monday's episode. We watched it.
Yeah, and what I said, and I meant it when we watched it. You know, nothing personal. That's what we do.
I mean,
we look at things and we poke fun at them.
How can we not goof on a celebrity, much less a celebrity that we have some type of relationship with?
That's the whole reason we goofed on that, is because we did have the relationship, because it was funny.
Who's on TV doing stuff that really, if it was anybody else, she would agree.
Right.
Oh, come on. Look at, why is this TV star putting her wedding on TV?
And it wouldn't be entertaining. It would not be entertaining if we were sitting there going, oh, the dress looked absolutely fabulous, because that's what the special was.
The whole thing, listen, it was the real Leah. I'll give you that, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
She's genuinely a nice person,
right.
But she's also very taken with the fact that she's a TV star.
La-da.
And,
sure.
I mean, we kind of alluded to that when we broadcast out there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When, you know, when
and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, what the hell?
Well,
let her do it. We're not... What we did was what we do. That is what we do. And, you know, the relationship aside,
mm-hmm.
we would do that with a wedding show. It's fun to make fun of TV shows. That's what we do.
But I still stand by everything that I said. It's,
sure.
it's self-promotion. And even if, you know, maybe I'd feel different if she had come on the show and said, hey, come on, stop busting my balls because I had to do this show because...
You know what you said to her yesterday? Everybody does self-serving things. You said that to her. And, you know, the fact is, people do it in different ways. I think what it is, and we were discussing this off the air, that she is surrounded by a lot of people that, well, they kiss her butt.
Now, we are self-serving as well, but here is where, I believe, Doctor, you can draw the line. We are not television stars. We trust me, if I want to call somebody, I don't say to my assistant, call Mike for me. And
right.
an assistant doesn't pick up the cell phone. Right. We don't live the life that she lives.
Right. We live very simple lives.
Now, we make good livings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of you have speculated on that. But the point is, we don't live in that stratosphere.
No,
we have
nice automobiles.
You're going to have a $100,000 wedding in Las Vegas at the Four Seasons Hotel. And you're going to put it on television. And you're going to let everybody know how much it costs because you put it on television.
You and I, as far as that is concerned,
so,
I couldn't imagine doing that, having cameras.
So everybody's self-serving. We are self-serving. She does it to a higher level. Here's where it gets funny. Then yesterday, maybe for the first time in the 5 years that we've kind of known her, I mean, and me more than you, I just told her what I thought. I tried to be polite, say she's a nice person, I like her, but it was rather self-promotionally inclined.
Well, and when she called us, she called us with the, are you going to tell me what you said yesterday? And she kind of challenged us to be honest with her and not to sugarcoat it.
So
and,
we did.
And we did that.
So we did. And, you know, that's good because you got a TV star, you know, regardless of the, how the show is going to do or not. Mm-hmm. You've got a TV star who's on the telephone and she's mad because you're critiquing another show she did. Now that's fine. Well, it got really funny. When Rob says to me today, "Hey, my dad was now Rob. What time did your dad hear this?"
He couldn't even remember. I'm guessing probably about 8:30.
Okay. Well, anyway, Rob calls me and says, "Hey, my dad just called me, and he was listening to Stern this morning, and Leah's on Stern."
Right.
And you know, at that moment, I really felt, you know, Esther, they're coming to take me. And I had a Fred Sanford moment. Oh my God.
Well, then you should mention the tears,
Rob. Please. Please tell me this is not true. Leah Remini has booked herself on the Howard Stern Show. Ow! Ow! That's my heart breaking. Ow! Now, here's what's funny about it.
God.
I believe we have effectively told you our spot in the pecking order.
Right.
Whether it be God's pecking order, Infinity Broadcasting, CBS, we know we're looking up the whole way.
Absolutely.
We're on the bottom rung.
Right.
We might try to act bigger than that.
No, most of the time we don't.
But we know.
Right.
And we're goddamn lucky to be here. We know that, too.
Right.
Even though we don't always say it, we know it. But it is great to be the little guy. And there's a lady who's on a television show who got mad at us for what we said about another television show she was on. And to spite us, because she thought it would really, it's like the one stab wound that'll kill, that she booked herself on Howard's show
now,
this morning.
Now, if you confronted her on this, I am sure what you would get would be, oh, I'd planned that weeks ago. That's what I was going to do weeks ago. But the timing
is a coincidence.
Certainly scorned. Yes.
And let me just say,
hell hath no fury.
Ouch. Ouch when this gets back to Leah Remini. Let me just say,
And I also wouldn't think it was a coincidence that she happened to mention yesterday, and I remembered this, that the only reason we weren't nice to her anymore is because she went on that other show.
Mm-hmm. Not
yes.
True. Not
it just seems to me to be quite interesting that she happened to do this
and then
today.
Show up there again.
You know, exactly. And again, we know our place even in that world. In our world of pecking order, we know Howard is what he is.
You know, right. Who knows? You're not a fly on the wall there, but I bet the words, "I'll show them," never came out of her mouth.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just want to say.
But it is funny.
I want to say, thank God I've been able to stop crying.
Good.
We have been burned worse than a Vivian's pancake. We have just been cut to the quick by this, and when this gets back to Ms. Remini, Mrs. Pagan, ouch, tears, I'm crushed by this. Now, this leads me to the next item. I hope that because you and I, Mike, are both feeling ill today.
Yes.
You know.
Wounded.
Wounded in the heart region.
Mm-hmm.
We're hurt.
Yeah.
I hope
deeply
that
hurt.
Because I know that we are the guiding forces of this radio station, and I know that people feed off what mood we're in. When we leave the studio,
yes,
has an effect.
You know,
yeah.
We're happy.
We have to be the sad clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we have to because I don't want our heartbreak over Leah Remini calling him.
I don't must you mention it again?
I don't want that feeling that we have to trickle down to the staff, including the newest member of the WJFK family, yes. Dick Ferry.
Dick Ferry?
Dick Ferry?
Yes. The memo says, please join me in welcoming the new addition to the retail sales staff.
Ah, hey, look, it's bigger. Who visited you last night?
Richard Ferry is the guy's name.
Yeah, he's what's he? Is he an account executive?
He, Mike, Dick Ferry is the newest addition to the retail sales staff.
There we go.
He is a big supporter of the alumni program at Pennsylvania State. And I guess for his whole life has been trying to get away from this Dick Ferry thing.
Sure.
Which is why he signed in here in the memo as Richard Ferry.
Richard Ferry.
Rich.
There's the memo.
Rich Ferry.
Dick Ferry.
Richard D. Ferry.
But I don't want our heartbreak over Leah and the way she cheated on us with that guy.
She knew that would stab us in the heart.
Ran into the arms of another man.
I don't want that to get out. I want today to be the best day that Dick Ferry has working here at the radio station.
Amen.
So let's turn those frowns upside down and let's think not about the incredibly cruel and heartless Leah Remini and how she pulled the one arrow out of her sling that she knew would slay us.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I have to be honest. It was almost too much to bear. It was almost too much to do this show today.
But if you could just for a moment picture Leah Remini hanging up with us yesterday, going, oh, those bastards, then, you know, getting mad and doing her makeup, and then then ordering her sister to call her publicist to say, you know, you got to get me on the Stern Show tomorrow.
Yeah.
You got to get me on the Stern Show tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it happens.
Yes, and
Leah,
she's just destroyed.
Here we are. Both me and Mike tell you we look like two guys at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We're blown away.
We've lost limbs.
Decimated.
How can we go on?
Mike, listen.
How can we go on knowing...
Do it for the dicker.
Do it for Dick Ferry?
Yes. Do it for Dick Ferry. That's why you got to keep it going.
You know, I'll go one step further. I'll do it for all the fairies.
You've lost a Leah, but you've gained a dick.
We are so shocked, so hurt.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
Sure.
Yeah. And I want to say this, too. My balls hurt because you know what that is, Leah? That's hitting below the belt.
That's a kick right where it counts.
Ouch. We didn't do nothing like that to you. Oh, you cruel woman.
Well, she sure showed us.
She sure did.
It's cruel business.
Boy, oh boy.
She sure did.
Well, I guess we'll have to solve this the way we solve all of our problems.
How?
Either she'll call us. What, Rob? No, again.
No, we're not going to do it that way, Rob.
Murder's not the answer.
We're not going to have
today. We're not going to murder Leah Remini, Robbie.
All I want to do is clean things up so we can move forward.
Can't
all of a
do
sudden,
that,
I'm
Rob.
A villain.
Can't do it.
No. Devil woman.
I think it will just put the standard Don and Mike blessing on her.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Let's see who's on the air longer.
Yes, we'll see if the Don and Mike show is on or if Lisa Remini's show is on.
And God knows that she's getting promotion right now. Right now she's getting promotion.
Yes.
Because her show... Oh, hold on a second. Here it is, right here. Tonight, wow, they got a whole hour.
Yeah, you know, and as somebody, as a listener called, perhaps this is all just one big, controversy.
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, we're in on it because we have so much to gain by her show doing well against The Bachelor and The West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say to yourself, now those are two pretty established, pretty good shows.
Right.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you where she wins. It's her lead-in.
Right.
60 Minutes 2.
Bingo.
Wow.
Bingo, baby.
Because what you want to do is tap in to that young demographic that's available to watch television at night. And that'll do it. Man, boy, will she show us.
Ooh. Don,
yeah.
Come on. She's already shown us.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I'm acting this way. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. I tried in the titty bar thing, and I tried in the fantasy thing to show,
I know.
To show I'm a bigger person, but in this I'm not.
No, you're not. You're hurt, and let your feelings show.
It's ouch.
Have yourself a good cry.
Doctor, one bruised ego.
Right.
Doctor, one set of trampled feelings.
How are we going to do the shows that people have come to expect without her?
If only Morris Gibb was here. How can you mend a broken heart?
Absolutely.
How can you stop the rain from falling down?
You just have to move on.
Right, how can you stop the sun from shining? Mike, what makes the world go round?
I'd like to apologize to the people that saw me in traffic when I found out about this and my uncontrollable sobbing, when I actually had to physically pull the car over to the side of the road.
You know, that was a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. Do we call him when he's driving?
Yeah, well, you did, you know. And I'm glad you did. I wanted to know, you know, as far as bad news is concerned, give it to me as soon as you get it.
Yeah, but I didn't want to. I normally do. But this is one that I know would hit so goddamn close to home.
Well, I know you care, and you try to spare my feelings, but once you let me know, you know, and as a matter of fact, one of the guys that I was driving by rolled the window down and said, are you okay, man? And I said, I'm fine. Drive on.
Drive on.
I'm just dealing with a broken heart.
With a personal crisis. A personal crisis. You know, and now we can't find that goddamn record. The one time that we want to play a Bee Gees record. Any other time it's in here.
We really should play something similar to dedicate to Lisa.
I'm looking, Mike.
Lisa Remini.
I'm looking for something good, but I don't have... Nope. I'm not going to waste the... We'll come back to it. I'm not going to waste the opportunity. You know, I mean, Maggie May doesn't cut it.
No.
The cover of the Rolling Stone.
No.
Nice to be with you. Precious. Oh, hold on. I got it. I got it. Okay. Here you go.
Is this for Ms. Remini?
Yeah, and it's a long distance dedication. To you. From me. And I'm also carbon copying it, so it's you sending it to me. So I send it to you, and you send
okay,
it to me.
Very good.
Long distance dedication. If you listen to the words, I think you're going to hear a tale about two guys named Don and Mike and a gal named Lisa.
Wait a little while from now.
Lisa Remini.
I'm not feeling any less sound.
Remedy.
I promise myself.
Lisa Remini.
Myself visit a nearby town.
Had to go on that show.
Climbing to the top.
Ouch.
Throw myself up.
Ouch.
Did Rob give you the Bee Gees?
Yeah.
Be clear to look. Ever what it's like when you're...
The wrong disc, though.
No. Oh.
It's good if you want to hear more than a woman.
When no.
We're going to have to go with this.
My God, that's tough. She stood.
That's right.
No point in...
See, this story, I won't play the whole song for me. This story is about a guy who goes up on a bridge and jumps off the bridge. It was the number one record when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Alone again.
Naturally.
People were driving around saying, sorry about suicide. People drive around saying, only yesterday.
Yeah, just loving it.
Cheerful, bright and gay.
Bright and gay. See? Gay. Gay now, funny.
Yeah.
Back then, gay, sad.
Sure.
To knock me down. Reality came around.
Oh, Lisa.
Lisa Remini, how do we go on?
Lisa Pagan. That's out. That's all I can do. I'm about to lose it.
Please stop torturing me.
Click. Thanks, Sam. Thank you to Sam for turning that off.
Leah.
There it is.
Alone again.
Yeah, right. Turn it off, Sam.
Click.
There it goes.
All I was thinking was, geez, maybe we just went too far.
Wouldn't be the first time you and I have put more than one toe in the water and been bitten by a shark.
Leah, in the words of Michelle Branch, are you happy now?
Oh, my God.
In the words of Alanis Morissette, you ought to know.
Oh, wow.
Leah, I want you to know one thing that somebody called the show with yesterday and didn't get on the air. You will always be our favorite CH. And the first word is not the word you think. It's not the valid C word.
No. But you can say the second word.
Holster. And the first word has something to do with a rooster.
I figured that.
You will always be our favorite CH.
Well, you could actually put it like, we enjoyed you running your CH.
The many hours... that we spent listening to your CH.
Being here on the receiving end of your
CH.
Running CH.
And when we saw your CH react that morning you didn't have your coffee?
You know, that guy that called with that yesterday is now loving this. Yeah, we liked it, sir. We liked it a lot.
It's one of those things that, Joe came in and said, hey, we just got the best call that I couldn't put on the air. It is time to rest that yapping CH. Give it a rest, honey.
Amen.
Give it a rest. Give it a rest, honey.
Yeah, honey.
So, listen, ouch. For all of our detractors out there who listen to the show every day, and God bless you, even though you hate us, or at least you say you hate us, have a Twinkie today.
Yep.
Have a Twinkie. Put a candle in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, draw a little blood. Do it. Do whatever ritual it is that you do when something bad happens to us, because today...
And ladies, if you're doing that with the Twinkie, then just shove it right into your CH.
Because today we're hurting. We're hurting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to get over a blow like that.
Well, time. You know, time
what
heals.
What a blow.
You know.
What a blow that
was. But, Mike,
was.
We've got a job to do.
I know. I don't know if I can, but I know we do.
But blow by blow, we'll get through this job today.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the type of guys that we are. And if we were a football team, right now we'd be wearing the patch on our uniform that says CH.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same thing that Snyder's doing with his dad.
That's right.
We'd put it on all of our Don and Mike team jerseys.
Sure.
CH.
CH 10103.
Mm-hmm. But not a celebration.
No.
Be a black patch.
Yes. Yeah.
Black and red.
That's what we should wear today, is just a black and red armband.
No, because that's Rob's dream.
Oh, not that kind of armband.
The black and red armband.
Stop it. I got excited.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. All right, so, you know, we're here today with wounded hearts and wounded souls, and I hope that somehow this lengthy opening monologue gets back to Leah Remedy, and that she knows how, well, words hurt, Leah.
Yes.
And actions hurt, and...
I sure hope we can do a show through the hurt.
Hurricane CH has just roared through our lives.
Yeah, she showed us.
You know what Mike and I are?
Wow. There's
that noise again, Buzz. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike and I, you know who we are? We're in a trailer park,
mm-hmm.
and Hurricane CH just came through.
Mm, right. There it is.
And there's that noise again, Buzz. You may have to join us here in the studio.
I sure hope we can pick up the pieces.
Don't make me look for that record, because I'll find it. We have right. That one. That one I know we got. All right, so that's...
And one last thing, it just reminds me that we now have another career to follow.
Yes, the track.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Sir.
And our best to Dick Ferry.
Yeah, welcome, Dick.
Welcome to the staff.
Best to you and all the fairies.
Dick Ferry, newest member
Ooh.
Of your market-leading radio station.
Look what happened.
Right here.
Quick.
There you go. Dick Ferry.
Who visited you last night?
Oh. Dick Ferry. We had a great meeting with Dick. Let's clear these lines. You got a call number 100 prize package selected especially for you.
Yeah.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Rob, more Kleenex, please.
Of course.
More Kleenex, please.
Well, I need a drink.
See ya!
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I love to root for the home team.
I hear that, dog. And it's nice to know that Singular Wireless is rooting for you. With Singular on your side, you'll win with Singular's great calling plans. If you need to keep your team connected, get Family Talk with nationwide long distance.
If you could add a line to your calling plan for $9.99 per month,
Would you?
Plans start at, Mike, can you believe this? $39.99 a month.
Ooh.
Call Johnny D's. Share your minutes. You only have to keep up with one bill.
So why not call Singular right now at 1-866-SINGULAR or log on to Singular.com or visit any Singular wireless store in the area. They have dozens of them.
Mike, you've been reading this commercial. You know about the product. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is it a bargain?
Ooh!
Ooh! Ooh! Make sure you tell them. Now there's more than usual here. Don, Mike, Rick D's, and Johnny D's sent you.
Amen. Can I read the disclaimer?
Yeah, we still got 10 seconds left, though.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular Wireless store for details.
WJFK,
there you go.
The Don and Mike Show.
is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't ask much from you, girl. Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Lisa? I mean, Leah?
Why can't you treat me?
Remedy.
I would be treated by any stranger on the street.
And here's
because
here's
I am not one of your fans.
The Don and Mike Show.
I think that says a lot.
You know, again, I pointed this out yesterday. This is where I think I'm being clever, and I'll share it with you.
Okay.
We picked the Mommy Dearest tape.
Yes.
And now the song that we're playing is called The Love I Lost.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can you believe we're back from commercials already?
Already.
Here's Don and Mike.
Thanks, Dude Walker. Let's get a call. 100.
Good.
Here we go. It's you. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm a call number 100.
Yeah. What's your name?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jen. Where are you from?
Fredericksburg.
All right. Beautiful, Jen. Listening on WJFK. You want a Halloween mask provided by AnyMask.com. That's www.anymask.com. You also won a $25 gift certificate to Applebee's. Try Applebee's never-ending basket of slow-smoked ribs.
Awesome.
At your area, Applebee's. And, you know, see if you can get the Lisa Remedy mask.
Ah, it's a beautiful
mask. That would be good.
Mask.
She's really an up-and-coming star and very popular. And what are you writing down, Rob?
It's the only one that's two-faced.
Oh, dear. Now, here's your real prize. You've won the Cox Communications Prize Pack. Meet Buzz and his oddball sound.
Yeah.
Hi.
Saturday, cherry gig, cherry time. Mm-hmm. See Buzz collect his check from 10 until noon for the ESPN two-minute drill. Buzz Burbank will be at the Springfield Mall. Buzz will be at the lower level.
Yes, I will.
In front of J.C. Penney's.
Okay.
Courtesy of Cox Communications. And while you're there, because Cox Communications is a part of all of this.
Right.
This is actually pretty good. They have something to help you with your remote if you get Cox Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them for the Cox holster. Ask someone from Cox Communications for their Cox holster.
I didn't know they'd have giveaways.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to find out where Buzz is, just look for the guy that's having the best day of his life.
All right, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Hey, and I wanted to say sorry about your loss, but congratulations on your new dick.
That's good. Boy, that's 2 days in a row our winners have been clever.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you, honey. Hold on.
That's funny.
Hold on just a second. That reminds me, I did want to say something last week, and to be honest, it just brain farted out of my head. I know I've talked about this guy a lot, Cox on the radio.
Don Cox.
This Cox holster thing made me think of Don Cox.
Right.
I've told you the story a lot of times that he's one of these guys that was either liked or hated in the radio business. But at least with me, he was always, he's dead, which is why I'm saying this.
Oh, really? Is that recent?
Yeah, like a week and a half ago.
Wow.
He was always so nice to me and had drug ties and mob ties and bow ties and neckties. But the guy, when I came upon him, I was 16 years old, working at 13Q in Pittsburgh, and the guy, for whatever reason, took me under his wing, and I know he was doing shady stuff, and I'm not really sure what type of shady stuff he was doing, but the guy was always...
Kind of like that life, didn't he?
He was always nice with me. He's the guy that took me out for a drive one night. We were mad at the program director, and I had no idea where the program director lived. We pulled into the suburban area, and he said, "That's his house right there." And I said, "Oh," and he pulled a gun out of his glove compartment. It was a convertible car, and he just fired a shot in the air. And he said, "That'll make him think." that's
the character.
A
mentor.
Right there.
Mentor
that's for Cox
you.
On the radio.
You know, you probably fit into, as I get older, into the category of, somebody said this to me recently, and I think it's great. He was a lot of things, but he wasn't boring.
No.
And that, you know, the longer I'm around, I kind of like the people that aren't boring.
And
that's the way I look at it.
And I would hope that in some ways the people that I come across in the radio business think of me the same way. I know a lot of people think I'm a jerk and an ass. But there are some people who I really try to be nice to. And I know that I was always proud to say that Don Cox had been nice to me and was a friend to me and maintained contact with me and always tried to help me get jobs and You know, a lot of people thought he was a dick, and he was to a lot of people.
But not to you.
He just wasn't to me. Right. He was, couldn't have been nicer to me, and a guy who gave me a lot of inspiration about, you know, don't listen to the program director, and my advice to you is to unscrew the light bulb that would indicate the program director was calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the best moment I ever had was when I was going to get fired from 13Q, and I knew it. They were going to fire me on Monday, and I was on a Sunday, and I was on from 2 till 6 on Sunday. It was like a June Saturday, Sunday afternoon, and put on Already Gone at about 4 o'clock, and said, hey, I hear they're going to fire me, you know, goodbye, and had the thrill of driving out of Pittsburgh, hearing the record end, the cart end, and then there was dead air for 30 minutes until someone else could come in and get the station back on the air, because I just walked out in the middle of my shift.
And you were able to get another job after that.
I had another job.
You had another
job. Because of Don Cox.
Probably a good idea, if you're going to make that move, to have the other job. Well, didn't they try to screw with you two at your next job after that?
No, that was Providence.
Well, that was Providence.
That was Providence. But see, the thing is, this guy, Don Cox, while he would have me do stuff, like I'd show, he did 2 to 6, I did 6 to 10. I'd show, and he'd say, I need you here every day at 2. So my show's not till 6. I need you around. I go, okay. Yeah, first time I ever worked on a major market radio station. I'd get there, and he would do stuff like give me a bag, a grocery bag with money. I need you to go to the bank and deposit this.
Oh, God.
They're going to know. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
They're going to know that it's for me. Here's the slip. Just go do it. And on the way out, take yourself $50. Go buy yourself something nice. I mean, so, you know, maybe I was used as a mule. I don't know.
They gave you $50, and if you'd been caught with the money, you would have been sent to federal penitentiary.
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Maybe I was wrong. I never thought he would put me in that type of danger. He was the guy, I've told you the story a lot of times. If you're hearing again, I apologize, only because the guy's dead, that he got me in a high-rise apartment. I was 16 years old. I had no idea what I was
doing. I remember this story.
He got me in a high-rise apartment, came over one day and said, where's your furniture? Yeah. Where's your TV? And I said, this has been such a whirlwind. I was staying at the hotel that the station put me at, but you got me this place. I don't know. Hour later, ding-dong, two guys show up. They go, we got a couch here for you. They move in the couch that turns into a bed. They got the television, but I never got a telephone. And this was, I guess, 1975. So we're, you know, eons from cell phones. Of course, like an idiot, I'm listening to the radio station on Saturday. I'm in this big, luxurious apartment that Don Cox has arranged for me to get. And I'm watching TV, and I've got the radio on, and I'm listening to 13Q. And I hear the disc jockey come on, and he's playing a record. He goes, hey, 13Q, it's a great-looking Saturday. Don Cox is having a big party over at his house today, and he sure wants his friend Don to give him a call. Don Geronimo, if you're out there, call Cox on the radio. 13Q. So I hear it.
Yeah.
I leave the apartment. I go to Wendy's.
Yeah.
I go to a payphone. I call him up. I go, hey, what's happening? He says, oh, I'm glad you were listening. I'm having one hell of a party, son. Get your ass over here. And then his wife would get on the phone and say, and bring your laundry. And I would go over, and she would do my laundry.
Wow!
I would lay in his pool, get drunk, get high, do all the crazy stuff. And about 2 weeks before I was going to get fired at 13Q, and I got fired from an awful lot of stations because I was working at a format, the top 40, where you could only talk for 10 seconds,
right?
And you weren't allowed to say anything mildly controversial. And the program director was just one of the biggest dicks, Bob Savage, Robert Savage, and. About 2 weeks before I got canned, Cox said to me, I got good news and bad news. Seriously, the guy pulled me aside, and he looked like a combination between Burt Reynolds and Dennis Franz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is what Cox looked like.
Right.
Kind of almost, maybe if he lost like 50 pounds, he might get away with that tough, good-looking thing.
Right.
He was just fat enough that he didn't, but he also had that presence, that intimidation factor when you're with him. He said, you're getting fired. I said, why? Because I'm getting fired.
Oh.
I said, really? He said, yeah. And Quinn's getting fired, too. That was Jim Quinn, the morning guy.
Right.
He said, we're all getting fired because we're not doing what Savage says. They're going to get rid of us, and they're going to put on other disc jockeys. Right. And I said, hey, you know what? I'd only been here 3 months. I don't believe this. Well, 2 days later, they fire Jim Quinn, the mighty Quinn. So now he has my attention.
Yeah.
And I say, hey, wow, they fired Quinn. He said, I know. I'm next, then you're getting it. He said, but I got a guy I want you to call this guy. This guy in New York.
Wow.
Now, again, this is, you know, I'm not, I don't know what's going on.
Boy, you know, in this business, and now I know why, I hadn't heard that story. To get a heads up on that is pretty amazing and nice.
So I call this guy in New York City, Bill Garcia, who's running 99X, big FM, the only FM top 40 station in New York in 1975. I call the guy up and he says, I got a recommendation on you from Don Cox, but I've never heard your show before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy you a ticket, fly to New York tonight, and bring your tape. So I now I don't have money.
Right.
But because I'm 16, and I don't know where my money's going. Don Cox buys me the airplane ticket to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I fly to New York. I play the guy the tape. The guy says, you got the job. You'll start in 2 weeks. Work out your 2 weeks there. I get back. I say to Cox, hey, wow, I can't believe, you know, you're the greatest. What are you going to do? He said, don't worry about it. I'm already covered, son. I'm going back down to Y100. I'm going back down to South Florida.
Where he stayed for a while.
Yeah, he had come from the Miami area and he went back down there after he got busted.
Trying to lie.
That's another trick I learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
So right before it was going to happen, he called me up. He called me up the Saturday night and he said, son, you still got that job in your pocket? I said, oh, yeah, listen, I'm quitting on Friday. He said, they're not going to let you quit. They know you got the job. You're getting canned tomorrow. And now here's why Don Cox was so great, because he was so sneaky. I didn't believe him. I said, listen, I got this other job. I'm just going to quit. Thanks for getting me another job. He said, son, you are getting fired. And I said, listen, you've been right about everything, but I've only got 5 shows to go. I'm going to quit on Friday, and then it's a moot point. He said, what time is your shift tomorrow? My shift was like at noon. He said, meet me at the station at 8 a.m. So I meet him at the station at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. You know, everybody's got a key to get in the front door.
Right.
We get there.
Was he already fired at this point?
No.
He hadn't been fired yet.
He had not been fired yet. He says, come here. He has a key to the general manager's office. The general manager, whose name I won't repeat, but is still in the radio business and now is a high-level executive with another company, not our company, but the other company. He got a key to his office. So we walk in. It's Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. We're not worried about getting caught. I say, where'd you get the key? Don't worry about it. We go in the office. He has another key for the general manager's desk. He opens the general manager's desk. I swear, on my life, I exaggerate, make things up. I am not making this up. He opens up the desk and starts going through the papers and pulls out, says, take a look from Nationwide Communications, son. That's the company that owns our radio station. Said, it came from Columbus, which was where the headquarters
were.
To be fired. Don Geronimo. Reason? And it gave all the reasons. Will not, you know, refuses to follow format.
Wow.
Playing records out of sequence. Date to be fired. And the day was the next day. And then he said, look at the next page, son. And the next page was Don Cox. Date to be fired. The day before I was supposed to be fired.
Man.
They're going to fire him on Thursday. Fire me on Friday.
Did you ever find out how he got his intel, or was he just sneaky?
He's also the guy that one time when he was mad at the program director, I've told this story on the air too, I think, that he, I told you that, came to work one day and he said, so did you hear about Savage? I said, no. He said, you'll hear about it maybe a day or two. And it was one of those things, a guy says, you go, okay, you go into your shift. 2 days later, Bob Savage, I show up at work, program director says, you're not going to believe this. Somebody broke into my condo.
Oh, no.
Somebody broke into my condo. As far as I can tell, they didn't really steal anything. They took some camera equipment, but my TV is there. But there is no doubt, we have called the police, someone has broken into my condo. And then the guy says, and someone has driven through our neighborhood shooting a gun.
Oh, God.
So
you kind of had an idea.
Back to the air studio, and I say to him, I shut the door, and I'm holding him, got my back against the door, and I said, so I want to come in. I said, did you break in to Savage's house? And he says, no, I didn't. And I said, come on. He said, I'm not lying to you. I didn't do it. And I said, okay. I said, well, what happened? He said, It must be people who don't like him.
Oh, God.
And so this guy, yeah, I didn't ask how that happened.
Yeah, you probably couldn't ask too many questions.
I didn't ask how he got into the general manager's office and showed me these documents, which had already been drawn up saying that they were going to fire it and change a lot of the disc jockeys, not only us, but Jim Quinn and Ray Zoller as well. And it was the greatest moment when I just played that record, because I knew I had the other job. Cox had already helped me get the other
job. So this is where you played it?
So I play the record.
On Sunday.
I play the record, and now there are no cell phones.
Right.
There is no internet, so I have no way of knowing that Don Cox is even aware that I've done this. Because we met at the station like at eight. We left.
Did you tell him what you were going to do, or did you plan it yourself?
I had no idea.
You were stewing on the fact that they were going to fire you the next day.
I had no idea until it was on the air. And I'll tell you what pushed me over the edge was that, for whatever, I was playing some record. And remember those drag strip commercials that used to go, Sunday, 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 Sunday. All right, well, I was playing some dumb Bay City Rollers record. And I said, and the record was Saturday night. Yeah. We're coming out of the record, and I'm doing Fun Loving 13Q Saturday night. But no, it's Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. 2:22, I'll be right back. I hang up the phone. Hotline. Bob Savage. God. Hi. He says, don't ever do that again.
Oh, so he knew you were going to get canned, so he wants to flex his muscle.
No, this is just the modus operandi. He's done this the whole time I've worked with him. He's a huge hotliner. Yeah. I said, don't do what? And I do remember this as if it was yesterday. He says, don't do that Sunday, 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 yes. That's just not funny, and it doesn't work. Besides, what about the stoplight? Remember, this is the guy that put an actual traffic stoplight in the studio.
Oh, God. Like how long he can talk?
Yeah. When the yellow light went on, you got ready to talk. When the green light was on, you could talk. And then when the yellow light went on, you had to wrap it up because you were supposed to shut up by the
time. Jesus, I've never heard of that.
That's amazing.
By the time the red light
was
on.
So, wow. Now,
it wasn't wired to the microphone. So, like, when the red light went on, your microphone cut off.
No.
It was just a reminder to the disc jockeys that it was on a cycle, that the cartridge with the records on it, you'd play a record, and then he'd put a button that made one light go off.
Silent. So it was wired to the records?
Yeah. That would let you know.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you're going to be able to talk in 30 seconds. If anybody's been in radio for a while remembers this back in the day, you'd have a cart that would go on, a light would go on and off to indicate.
Oh, yeah, the cart, right.
The record's almost over.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to look at the traffic light, and it would be in red. It'll go to yellow, and then on green, you're supposed to turn the microphone on, and then you could say what you wanted.
And then would you get another yellow as you were winding it, and you had to wind it down?
Yeah, and I constantly violated the stoplight rule.
God, why do I find that difficult to believe?
I was constantly violating it. So, anyway, I got to quit before I was fired and left, and it wasn't...
So what, he motivated you when he called with that last hotline? He motivated you to get out of there?
Because I didn't know what I was going to do, and he said, don't do the Sunday... And I just hung up the phone and just, God, F this. Mm-hmm. Really, F this. And then did that and drove away and was scared, because what I wanted to do was go to a payphone right away and, call Cox or some of my other friends to tell them what I had done. But for some reason, I'm petrified. I got to get out of Pittsburgh.
You didn't want to get out of town.
So, I've only got a couple bags worth of stuff and a TV in my car. I didn't have anything. The couch I left in the apartment.
Right.
So I just started driving to New York. It's about a week later. I'm in the station. We've got a great shift. 6 to 9 at night. Got a board op. I'm working in New York City. I get a telegram. Don Cox, congratulations on the gig. P.S. I'm already gone.
That's nice.
Listen, the guy was really a mentor to me. Anyway, and he's gone. He's dead.
No, that's too bad.
I applaud him. I applaud that story. That's great. I mean, I know people like that. We've worked with people like that.
Yeah, and I didn't even really mean, that's not in my notes to start talking about him, but the whole Cox. Because at the time, he would get in trouble for giving away cocksuckers.
Are you sure?
He had lollipops.
How did that work? I can't believe he did it back in those days.
He had lollipops that said Cox on the radio.
Right.
And when he said Cox on the radio, he wasn't doing it in that morning guy way, like Diamond in the Morning or, Shannon on the radio. What he was doing was saying to his audience, Cox on the radio.
Right.
And he would long dramatic pauses. And keep in mind, back in 1975.
That's pretty cutting edge stuff.
I mean,
that's a trailblazer.
He did okay. He did okay, and he always did right by me, so
that's
there you
cool.
go. Don Cox.
Safe journey.
Yeah.
Have a drink. Do whatever else it is you're going to do.
Enjoy.
drive around, shoot at program directors' houses. don't shoot at the house. You shoot in the air.
Shoot up in the air. It's already
shoot
gone.
Up in the air.
Man, that'll disrupt the neighborhood.
I almost asked my hand. Sure. Like, where are we? Yeah. Where are we? He says, don't worry about it, son. He's one of these lonely southern guys. He was always said, don't worry about it, son. You're with me. Don't worry. See that house right there? Boom! What are you doing? Just letting him know.
Never guilty of being boring.
Nope, he was not. Anyway, that was Don Cox. And now we have to break. I'm sorry about that. That was like therapy time for me. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bob Crane enjoyed the Hollywood nightlife and soon found new ways to blend his Playboy lifestyle with his passion for cameras. The star began to videotape sexual encounters. As co-star Werner Klemperer recalls,
I don't know whether you'd call them pornographic, but they were erotic films of sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I must say, from where I sit, I am truly enjoying your colorful patois.
God damn it.
Right, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's take some of your calls here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was just going to say, I grew up in Miami, and I remember driving, just like carpooling to school when I was like, in second grade, and Cox was on the radio. He had locked himself in the DJ booth and was playing Smuggler's Cove. Like Smuggler's Blues by Don Fry over and over again.
Don't let this lame stunt misconstrue the legend of Don Cox.
Yes.
That I've also done, and Mike's done, and Buzz has done. We've all done crazy, nutty DJ stunts.
Yeah. He was like the coolest. We were like little kids, and we thought that. We're like, wow, that's so cool.
Well, that's why you thought it was cool, because you were a little kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Thank you, though. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing? I just need to know if you guys are on the air in the San Francisco Bay Area.
We are.
We are, KYCY.
Do you have a number for that?
Do I have a number one, pal?
We're going to be number one on KYCY. It's an AM station.
Number one. I have down at the right side of the dial.
Hit scan.
All right.
Okay?
Go to our... Do we have our affiliates listed on our website yet?
Not yet. Not yet. Thank you, though.
All right.
Bye-bye. Here is Perry in Pittsburgh. Perry.
Hey, I grew up with 13Q.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, Jim Quinn's still, he's doing real well. He's still here in Pittsburgh.
The mighty Quinn.
The mighty Quinn, he's doing well. And how about your other buddy, Jeff Christie? Do you work with him there?
Jeff Christie?
No, Jeff.
Yeah, he's got a national show somewhere.
Yeah. More about him later.
Jeff Christie, he's going to be on the news today.
That's right.
Yes, we know all about Jeff Christie. All right, see you later. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
This is Jeff Christie. Well, at least they're calling from Pittsburgh.
3 and 14K on the award-winning Jeff Christie Rock and Roll Radio Show with fun and frolic for all. Some of you, no doubt, still wondering what award I have won. I'll tell you, none other than the Marconi Award for excellence in broadcasting. God, stop music. Music radio.
Anyway, that
he loves saying music.
That's Rush Limbaugh back when he was a DJ.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that Rush was a disc jockey.
Yeah. This party I went to last night for Robert, for Rob's son, my godson.
Trip.
For Robert Spiewak III was great. I had a great time. What I mentioned yesterday, that I have a card to play against my wife, the card that I'll play at some point was not that I went to something that was not enjoyable that I'd be able to use against her, but the fact that this was something that most times she would go to without question. And it will be a sweet moment when I'm able to, at some point, when she wants me to do something, and I say, I can't because we have a work thing we got to do. And she'll say, but, oh, come on, this is important because it's the family. I'll say, well, what about that time that Robert was having his birthday party and you had to go do what you had to do? So I went without... Oh, hold on.
Hold on. Something's coming up. Something's just come up.
Let's clear it.
There we go. Listen up.
Oh. Get rid of it.
Okay, be proud.
Get it going.
Going.
I was
get it gone. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
That was part Lisa Remedy.
Lisa Remedy, Don.
And part Don Cox. So I'm at this party last night at Robbie's house for Robert's birthday, and I truly felt like Tony Soprano, who was there without Carm.
Okay.
Because it's all of Rob's family, Big Daddy, Rob's dad, Rob's dad's brother, Rob's mom, all of them who I know, but not in this intimate family situation. For the first time ever, they're having a family event, and I'm there.
Now, this is a grown-up party, right? Pretty much. I mean, it's all, for the baby, but all adult up. Action. It's, you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, it's not a kid's party. No. You'll have those later.
No, it's a party for the adults mm-hmm. with a little precocious Robert. And I didn't have Frida Carm there as a buffer to help me out in, and I felt a little awkward because I was getting, and who would complain about this, but I was getting nice treatment as soon as I walked in the room. Somebody said, oh, please take this chair. Mm-hmm. And everybody was just sitting on regular hardback chairs, but I got to sit in a luxurious, big love seat type.
So you're getting star treatment, is what you're saying.
That's nice.
And everybody else was drinking out of little kitty-sized glasses.
Mr. Geronimo, can we get you another grape?
And Robbie brought over a bottle of Diet Vanilla Coke for me. Mm. Everybody else was just getting regular Diet Coke in these little tiny kid glasses, but I had a whole big 20-ounce bottle.
So you're being treated like the Godfather.
Yes, I really, cool. and it was.
Do people have audiences with you?
It was quite a. That's the other weird thing. Yes, they did. Yes, they did because the way they had me seated strategically was that I had. And I know this was a mistake, but I had the best view of Robert
mm-hmm.
as he sat in his high chair wow. and opened his gifts and then crawled around on the floor. Everybody else was having to jockey for position to get a good look at him, wow. to get the heads on. Meanwhile, I was right there and Rob had his video camera going, and I'm sure you're going to love this when you watch this later with your family because I realize that the microphone is on. What I was saying to Rob, and I really meant this, at one point, Robert was so happy
mm-hmm.
that he did that thing that little kids do where he was laughing and he's making his hands go in and out. He's moving.
Squeezing his hands.
Opening
right.
and closing his hands.
We call it his Homer. Because you know when Homer gets excited on The Simpsons and he does his fingers like that? That's what Robert does. He will do his hands around in circles right. and open right. and close them.
He's happy and he's doing this and he's just finished his birthday cake and he takes the plate and on cue puts it on his head like it's a hat. And everybody's going, ooh, ooh, and laughing.
Right.
And he's doing his hands like that. And I say, I believe too loud, the videotape will say that. I said, Rob, you know what that is, my friend? You just got the money shot.
Oh, God.
I said, Robert just gave you the money shot.
You know,
birthday
okay.
party.
For my money, nothing goes over better at a 1-year-old's birthday party than pornography terms.
Sure,
but, you didn't say hamster pop or.
No, I just said money shot.
I just didn't say garbage can.
That garbage can.
I just found out though. Here's your out. They don't just use that term in porn. They use it. That may be where it started, but in regular filmmaking, when they have a great moment that they capture on film, they call that the money
shot. Well, they might call it in regular filmmaking, yeah. but I'm sorry, the pornographers have owned that for a long time.
I understand.
So then later, Robert did something else that was great. He had a bunch of speak-to-him toys, a bunch of plush toys that talked to him, and he was so animated, and he had cake in his hair, and his hair was going like Sid Vicious, 18 different moves, and at one point, he just started laughing and laughing, and Rob's getting all this on the camera, and I said again, just real loud, wow, second money shot.
Oh, tonight. My God.
Now, thank God, nobody within vicinity knew what I'm talking about.
What is that disc jockey saying? He's talking about the money shot.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about. There were two moments that I'll mention about Rob's family, all of who, you know, and
I have a question when you get to the end of this about a certain member of the family as to how it went.
Okay.
With specifically Big Daddy.
Well, I'm going to mention Big Daddy.
Is Big Daddy involved in this?
Yes, he is.
Good.
That I was humbled to be in the bosom of Rob's family, and I take the responsibility of being Robert's godfather pretty seriously, and it's a nice honor. So I'm really trying to let down my guard and just have a good time. Big Daddy wanted to engage me in conversations every once in a while.
Sure.
But, and I've already run this by Rob. He's cool with me telling him this. Big Daddy's, how old is he, Robbie?
This month he'll be 88.
Next month he'll be 88. So as I'm sitting there, every once in a while, while everybody's having the discussions and looking at the baby and looking at Rob's daughter, Julia, Big Daddy would just say, in general, so, you're on the radio. And I'm sitting across the room from him, and I'd look back and I'd nod, and then he would turn to the person next to him who wasn't talking to him and go, hey, he's on the radio with Rowdy. Yeah, that's him. That's the guy. And for a while, we conversed like that. Then, and now there was a TV on that was muted.
Right.
In this room with all the family and the kids. And Robert was opening his gifts. And there was one gift that he really liked, that everybody was caught up in this and taking the movies. And Big Daddy looked right at me and said, John Ritter. And I kind of looked back at him and went, and then he said again, John Ritter. And I looked at the muted television, and there, in fact, there was dead John Ritter on the television.
So he was just spotlighting that to you, or what?
Throwing up a relatable.
Didn't want me to miss, the fact that a dead guy was
John Ritter, Don. Dead guy, Don. Rob talks about that.
And there was also a lot of conversation one way with Big Daddy, with somebody about Alex Trebek shaving his mustache.
Okay.
But now this would be there's conversation where there's Rob's dad and Rob's mom and Carrie's sister and the aunts and the uncles and they're all, and out of the blue I would just hear, I don't like him without the mustache. And
it's a big topic in the house because Jeopardy's on every night.
Yeah, that's his favorite show.
It's required when you turn 75.
You told me that one time that he watches that every single night.
Jeopardy and Wheel. That's how we spend our 7 o'clock hour.
The mind sharp.
The only moment, there were two moments that I could really relate to. One I didn't know how to react to. The joke. Now, was it your father-in-law?
Yeah, Ed had a good... It's a simple joke.
Ed says to me, you want to hear a joke? Now, what are you going to...
Nobody likes a good one better than you do.
You're at a baby party, sure.
Yeah. So you didn't give him the standard response because you were among family members, right?
Right.
You didn't say, go away?
No, I was sitting right here, so I said, I'd love to hear a joke.
There you go.
And he said...
Have you heard the one about the cat with the cell phone?
No.
And he said, no. He picks up and he says, can you hear me meow?
Wow.
Can you hear me meow?
It was...
I went, hey!
But hey, at least, he's bringing something to the table.
Sure. Good one.
And he kept it brief.
Wow.
Good one.
You know what? And really, the fault doesn't lie with Ed. The fault lies with my Uncle Philip, who actually told Ed the joke. And he disclaimed it.
Aren't we on the heels of a cat joke winning, though, the Make Us Laugh?
Yeah, can't all be. Can't all be zingers.
I tell that joke everywhere.
So... We get done with this, and then I notice that as Rob is sitting to my right, there's another member of his family. Who is that?
Mrs. O.
The neighbor.
The neighbor. She lives on the other side of the school.
Okay.
No, that's not that kind of O, Mike.
No, I was getting worried it might have been the ex. And it's like, what was she doing?
Her. No.
Okay.
There is this thing.
It doesn't go by that anymore.
And I'm not going to use Rob's family. I'm going to use my family. Old people. Here's the thing. It's great if they can be internet savvy.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it...
Most of them can't, though.
They can... Well, but those who can, it's a great time waster. Generally, they're out of your hair. They're interested in what they can find on the web.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, as I've found with my mom-in-law, Big Frida, who is 80, is that when they find something that they think is amusing... If it's like something has been mass emailed to people, they will print it out and bring it to you and present it to you as if it's the funniest thing you've ever read in your life.
Right.
And we actually had to send a note to my mother-in-law.
Were people pitching you with ideas or something?
No, this wasn't me. This was Rob.
Okay.
We had to send a note to my mother-in-law saying, in very direct terms, please stop sending us lists of jokes,
forwarding things,
and things that you think are funny.
Yeah.
Well, I see it happen right in front of me. Now, I'm fortunate at this moment that I've got Robert, the baby, right here in front of me, and he's holding onto my fingers, and can kind of walk, and I'm looking at Robert, and Rob A is sitting to my right, and Mrs. O is to his right, and she's older than we are, and she has gray hair, and I see her reach to the purse, and she unfolds a piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
And I see right away from the heading that it's something off the internet, some very long-winded...
When faxes first arrived, it became fashionable to fax the funny jokes, and now it's been replaced by the internet.
Yeah. A long-winded urban legend about lawyers, which, incidentally, I had already seen courtesy of my mother-in-law.
Does it end with all of them at the bottom of the sea?
Something like that. I had seen it 6 months ago. So I'm watching Rob, and here is Rob's reaction. She gives him the thing, and he goes, oh! He unfolds it, and he reads like the first two sentences, and he goes, ha, ha, ha! Uh-huh! Mm-hmm! And she's watching him read it, and he's going, oh, yeah, ha, 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 ha. Turns to the second page. Oh, woo, wow, ha, ha. Hey, hey, that's great. And then makes the move to give it back, and she makes the move, no, you keep it.
So then what I did, what was natural, I said, you know, Don, you might be interested in this, and passed it to my left.
And then I had to do the same thing. Where
to a word. The
pretend
exercise,
to enjoy it?
And now she's looking
well,
at
how
me.
How horrible was it?
Pretty horrible.
They usually are. Yeah.
Pretty horrible. So now she's looking at me, and I'm going to have to go, oh, lawyers. Ah.
Hey,
yeah, hey.
Funny.
Like, I read through it as fast as possible. Go, yeah, okay. Rob, you know, we should use this on the show.
Right.
I give it back to Rob. I'm not going to be stuck with it. I give it back to Rob. Now, when she gets up to go get something to drink, I notice what Rob does is he just folds it back and just slips it on her chair. Gives it back to her.
As far as I know, it's
sort
still
of
there.
Non-verbally indicating we're done with this.
Yeah. Yes. But we all had a good laugh.
Put it away.
Yeah. Thank you.
Put it back in your purse.
I enjoyed being with your family last night, and your dad always cracks me up.
It's a good group of folks, and we're glad you could come. And happy birthday to my boy.
No bigger one, as we all know, no bigger one than the first birthday. It's a very, very significant milestone.
And I hope he has the comedy gene. The first thing he did is got a tremendous glob of red frosting on his nose. And there it stayed. And it was pretty great.
And a cake. You know, really, for a first birthday party, and I remember the vivid, videos that we had with my daughter with the cake. The cake is the issue.
Yeah. That is it.
The cake usually at 1 year old is going to be worn.
Yeah,
in some
and
capacity.
Once he's had, you know, he's had maybe bananas and formula thus far. So as he had it, energy surged throughout his body.
And don't let me leave this all warm and fuzzy with you. Let me just tell you that as I'm getting set to leave. And I was not the first to leave. Wanted to make sure of that because I was actually having a good time digging. Watching.
You crack me up when you obsess on that. That is so funny. When you actually figure out who's going to leave first. You don't just.
Well, I don't want to. You know, I want a family member to leave before I leave.
Sure.
I don't want it to be. Oh, look, Mr. Outsider. There he is, Mr. Too Busy. Gotta
right.
go.
Right.
So I waited until somebody else left, and then I started making my rounds. And Rob said, "Hey, before you go, I really have to show you something." And I go back to the laundry room, right off the kitchen, and he says, look at this. And beautifully mounted and framed, there are pieces of the Hindenburg.
My father had it, bought a piece of the Hindenburg for me and had it framed in a beautiful shadow box.
And it's the Hindenburg, and it's flying.
Okay.
It's flying, and it's got the bad...
Very nice. Very nice, Rob.
It's got the bad flag on it.
Yeah.
And it's got these two pieces of metal. And Rob says, look, one of the pieces is charred. And then there's some type of documentation that goes along with it.
You know, Rob, that is so disturbing on so many different levels.
No,
I can't begin to tell you.
It goes into this will sound bad, but it's part of my family history.
Yes, and I understand. Well, yeah, I'm aware of that.
The Hindenburg, of course.
Yeah, talk your way out of this. I want to hear this.
I can explain this. Blew up in Lakehurst in 1938 on American soil, right?
Yeah.
And
your face is blocked. I've got to see your face. Go ahead, Rob. I want to hear this.
After God, you know, the God forbid, the thing burned to the ground.
Yes.
Many lives were lost.
Right.
My grandfather drove to Lakehurst and got a piece of it. It was a tremendous disaster and quite a news story in its time.
Yes. Right.
Well, through the years.
Can I just stop you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
He drove to get a piece of the wreckage,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
I mean, in modern times, if you, I mean, why did he...
That'd be like going to the Twin Towers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, but not...
That'd be like going to the site of a plane crash and picking up a piece of it.
Not as graphic as all that, I don't think.
Well,
but anyway...
I've seen the tape.
Well, okay, yes. Right. Well, I don't know. I can't speak for another person.
I'm not trying to bust your balls. I'm trying to enlighten you as to the fact that this can be disturbing.
Rob has this hung in his home. Now, I'll say this, is hung in his home... Well, you're not going to see it. You come through the front door, you go to the living room, you go to the kitchen, you're not going to see it.
Right.
You got to go through by where the washing machine...
Kind of like the guy's plate in American Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, it's not really like
you
that.
You kind of go behind something to see.
Well, no, it's hanging right there.
If you're intimate enough with Rob that he'll let you on his back porch...
Is his back porch where he has the pamphlets?
Where we march in formation?
Great Princeton.
It was just the one I didn't want to end this.
I'm sorry. I
didn't want this all to be sugar and spice, which it was. The evening was...
It was.
It was a fantastic evening for Rob's
son. Glad you incorporated the evil side into it. And
Rob was very proudly showing it to me at one point. And then when Sharon, his mom, came over, she's unfazed by it. You know, Rob is...
I
have to say this, too. I'm laughing... hard.
That's what I'm going to say. The comedy value of it. Too.
I'm laughing so hard.
Comedy value, but also I think it's an interesting piece of history.
And something
American history.
He can hand down to his son.
Yes, as my father gave to me.
I said to Rob, this is surreal.
Jealous?
Yeah.
And I was laughing last night. I said,
give it to me.
I said, I'm in your laundry room, and you have pieces of the Hindenburg and a picture of it with the bad guy's flag.
Right.
Matted in frame.
Is the picture of it going down?
No, actually, it's a postcard from 1936. It's a vintage postcard of the rigid airship.
What a year.
The dirigible.
Yes, it is, yes.
Yeah.
Built by Graf Zeppelin.
It was a great night, Robbie.
Thanks
for coming.
Don, I can't think of a better ending to that story.
Someday you must come and see my charred piece of aluminum.
You know, really, I've never really thought about the Rob, I would sprint for it. It would be the first thing I'd want to see.
There are two pieces of aluminum, as Rob pointed out to me. One of them is charred.
One of them is charred.
One of them is actually, so that like closer to the actual event.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of them is charred.
Well, wow. I think people, to commemorate disasters, they put forget it. I'm not doing this.
No, you can't. It's too funny.
It's just weird.
It's too funny. It's too Rob. And I went from this atmosphere of...
Did you show him the daggers?
I have no daggers.
Okay. I went from this atmosphere of...
As you know.
Rob's kids are coming over and loving on me, and I'm digging it, and he's... Hold on, I gotta show you one thing you've never seen this before.
But
it was like, oh my, okay, back to reality.
But also significance that it's in the laundry room, right?
Well, yeah, it's not like
you're not gonna put it in the middle of the living room.
No, not yet.
Anyway, nice party last night.
Thank you,
Rob,
for coming, and someday
happy birthday.
I look forward to showing you my piece of
Rob. I'll wait for the day. I'm looking forward to it.
You must come over.
I must.
You must.
We haven't done that.
Happy birthday to
Hindenburg. It will be
happy birthday to us.
Jesus Christ,
to Robert, to Trip. Is this a true call? I know we got a break, but Brad.
Yes.
Brad,
hi, Mike. How are you?
We're doing great. Is what you're saying true?
Yeah, I have a celebrity death sighting.
Okay. I heard about this. I'm glad to hear that it's on TV. Go ahead. Lay it on us.
John Ritter was on Hollywood Squares last night, and he was promoting the show.
that poor sap.
Wow.
I mean, you talk about the lower level.
Saw him this morning. This morning on local Channel 7.
John Ritter on Squares?
Mm-hmm. God.
Not even the center square.
He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
It would be the center square if it was him now.
Yeah, but that can't happen now.
If he was dead, he'd be the center square.
They're just not, poor John Ritter. They're just, he's gone, and they're using him like a toilet.
Actually, in the interest of the stagehands, you might want to keep him on the bottom tier.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Well, of course, if he was at the top tier, though, he'd be, you could hang, like, string from the rafters.
But closer to the lights.
Rob, we should tape that show tomorrow.
Okay.
We should tape it tomorrow so we can play the dead John Ritter.
Wow.
Promoing his show.
Very weird.
Which was obviously taped before his death.
I guess it's not weird when you think you can look at the Hollywood Squares and syndication still and see Paul Lynde and
George
Gobel and Charlie Weaver.
But Paul Lynde is not promoting an appearance he'll be making next Tuesday night.
Oh, God. Now that's disturbing. Yeah.
That is.
Boy, there have been several disturbing moments in the last segment.
This is Paul Lynde. I'm the Secret Square, and I'll be on the Hindenburg this weekend.
There you go.
Hey, we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Once again, Dennis Murphy. When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
Don and Mike, and it's big, baby, big.
Here again, Dennis Murphy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Did you wash your ass today? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Did you?
Huh?
Did you? Now listen, we are going to play a game today to give away some money and give away the digital camera, $500 digital camera, the Casio XLM EX S3 digital camera, courtesy of Matchbusters, Friday at 9, 8 Central on the Discovery Channel, Entertain Your Brain. It's a good $500 prize, give it away here when we play a game. Also, Tom Shales is coming on the show today.
He's going to talk about what he likes, doesn't like, all that good stuff.
Well, I think he's pushing his paperback version of the Saturday Night Live book.
Which is the best book written on the Saturday Night Live you will ever read.
Talk about that for a couple of seconds and get his take on the new fall season, including Lisa Remedy's show. Now, here's a predicament, and I'm going to tell the censors to get ready.
Okay.
I'm going to go with this now.
Go with it.
I saw the movie A Mighty Wind when it came out. I don't know when. What was it? 6 months ago? Something like that?
3 or 4 months ago.
I didn't think it was as funny as the Dog Show movie.
Right. Yeah, not nearly as funny.
But I was never a big fan of Spinal Tap. I thought it was better than Spinal Tap. A Mighty Wind, I thought, was a very funny movie until it got to the concert part. When it got to the concert part, then they're really just singing for the last 20 minutes of the movie. And
yeah, and almost, I found the movie to be too dry in certain parts.
I disagree. I think, except for that part, I was genuinely laughing. Yeah. And the soundtrack album came out this week. Now, one of the songs on the soundtrack album was not used in the movie.
Mm.
And I think not only is it funny, but it could have helped make a very strong case with the FCC. First, let's play... Yes, you've heard this a million times. You know, you mainly hear it at football games.
Right.
You know. And now, here are your Baltimore Ravens! And let's hear it for Don and Mike, who are wearing the Jester's hat.
Right.
Okay, so... I'm going to let this roll for a second to get to one particular part in the song.
Okay. So it's something involving death?
No. Yeah, something you can do to a dead man.
Exactly what I was saying.
Now, here's the question. There's no doubt that this song is overplayed on the radio, even today.
Yeah.
It's played in stadiums. There's probably a Muzak version of it playing in an elevator somewhere. Now, listen to the words here. Right? We got that.
We're going to have to fast forward to get to the part we're looking for.
I think it's toward the end.
Yeah. All right, hold on. So you can make a grown man cry. That's part of Start Me Up by the Stones. Then you continue. All right. From Tattoo You. Great album.
You have any idea how much of this is going to see the light of day?
Well, now this part, I'm sure, will make it.
This will make it. I'm just wondering.
This is a record every station in America plays.
Right.
It plays records. Never. And trust me, I'm going somewhere with this.
I know.
You make a grown man cry. Make a grown man cry. Make a grown man cry. Wow, it's still not on this.
Where one. It's somewhere in there.
Yes. There's only 50 seconds left in the song, so give us a chance.
Well, I think he might have gone by it.
I think he sings it again if he hasn't already.
Yeah, he will.
Start me up.
Sure.
Never stop. Never stop. Never, never, never. Right here. Coming. Start me up. Never stop. As you start me up. Yo! You make a grown man cry.
This is it.
Now, I know when I would play that record, I would always go, what? You make a dead man what? Now, stations play...
Why you're loved by program directors everywhere.
Stations play this record in its entirety all the time.
Right? Probably the best Rolling Stones album ever made. Yeah.
Now, why could you not play the version on the soundtrack of A Mighty Wind?
If you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop.
Now, this is funny on its own.
Yeah.
And again, not in the movie, which would have made the movie funnier.
I've been running hard.
This
you
is funny.
Thinking, gonna blow my top. If you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop. You make a grown man cry. You make a grown man cry. You make a grown man cry.
Now let's fast forward. let's fast forward that a little bit.
Started up. Pick on the starter, give it all you got. I can't compete with the riders in the other heat. If you rough it up,
you need to stop that.
The mandolin. Yeah, I know. I know. And could they sing it any wimpier? You know.
Now. Robbie, while I fast forward this, why don't you fast forward that to the part we're looking for? I want to again point out why I believe you can play one version and you're probably not going to be able to hear the other one. Hey, you tell me, folks, this is okay. Start me up. Never stop.
Never, 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 never.
Never stop, never stop.
Yo, yo, yo!
You make a grown man cry. You make a dead man what?
Yo, what was that?
Can't.
Let's go to the same part of that song with A Mighty Wind.
And come, you make a dead man come. You make a dead man come. You make a dead man come. You make a dead come.
There now, it is. Did that now, see the light of day?
Yes, it did.
Well, now, I,
yeah, all right.
Music. They're dumping it.
They must have tried. But
here's the thing.
They let some of it through.
Again, with this song, why is one version okay when everybody knows what he's singing?
Right.
And why is the other version not okay?
You know, I can't answer that. I don't have an answer for you.
I mean, really, I'm not trying to be a rebel of the airwaves here. I'm just asking the simple question, why can... And here he comes. Hi, Charlie.
I can't
answer
that, but
you
the fact that... I can't.
Oh, you can't.
I don't know why it is there, but in this particular instance, when you're drawing attention to it, it has to be dumped.
What if I just...
I was going to think I remember that rule before.
What if I just played the song?
And not had all this conversation leading up to it, it would be fine.
Or just play it right now.
But you've already had this conversation.
Well, then we'll...
Or you're highlighting
it. We'll play it coming out of the next stop set.
You think maybe it'll go then?
I would think so.
Well, hold on. Here's Lisa, who says they're dumping both versions. Mm-hmm. They're dumping the Stones version?
Because we're drawing attention to it.
Lisa.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike. How
hi there.
Are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great.
They dumped out of the Rolling Stones version. They didn't dump out of the other one, but they dumped out of the
Stones. At some point, we do run out of
delay.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's Al from Salt Lake. Al.
Hey, I was just listening to it, and they dumped out of the Stones part of it, but they let the Mighty Wind through.
Well, man, it wasn't a letting.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Right.
It happened. Ran out of delay.
Did it. All right. Just thought you'd like to know.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
My friend. Okay.
It's always an interesting dance, isn't it?
So, Charlie, at some point during the show later today, we'll use that as a rejoinder music, and we'll just let it play. But I should not tell you that, because then you wouldn't
know. What's
that? Yeah, right. Yeah. Get out of here. Thank
all right.
You.
Very good.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Fascinating. Yeah. Oh, dear.
can't argue with that being a great song.
And I'd like to point out also, what is it with stations? They all play Who Are You Now.
That's because of CSI,
right? Right. But they all get to play the version where he sings, Who the F Are You?
Yeah.
And nobody does anything about that.
I guess the way I understood what he had to say was, in the context
of... A dead man. Come by.
Ah!
Come by.
Very nice.
Come by.
That's effed up, man. You can play one that everybody knows.
Right.
And even when I was a disc jockey, I would say, you make a dead man what?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay to play.
That's now you're taking he's faking it out. Which I also knew, and you probably did too, was going to happen. There they go. Our fun is over.
Well, please take the point.
Yeah, we...
It is a terribly hypocritical world,
yes, it is,
that we live in. And
I'll tell you, it's a fun dance to watch.
We're trying to do the show within the guidelines that they give us.
Yeah. Now, and you are simply asking questions.
That's right.
Why is it okay for a radio station to play Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones and have nothing happen to them? If the same station was to play the song by A Mighty Wind...
He said that you probably could.
Well, but here's the problem. There's not a radio station that has the balls to play A Mighty Wind.
No, an argument could be made. I know an argument could be made by the fact that the Mighty Wind version spotlights that lyric because of the way that the song is sung. Does that sound valid?
Yes, it does.
Sounds like you're on their side.
I know. I'm just trying to understand them.
Or we should just be on our side. I mean, I know you're on our side.
Yeah. Days in a row.
But no, come on. No. Stop it.
Sorry. Mr. Shales is waiting.
Okay. We'll break.
I'm not justifying. I'm explaining to you why. I'm trying to give you an answer for what you're asking. Okay. You know the answer. You know it better than I do.
But I would think that if...
I know what you're doing.
If a radio station was to play the song, though,
mm-hmm.
and just play it... Uh-huh. I would think they could get away with it.
I would think they could, too.
I mean, really, if they didn't come on like we have and said, hey, if you want to hear the version of Start Me Up, be listening. So I think we should play it at some point. Now, they've taken the CD away today,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but there's nothing to stop us from buying another one tonight.
Absolutely.
And at some point in the future, we'll just use that as our rejoin music.
And don't you ever... ever say that to me again. Don't ever let those words come out of your mouth.
It wasn't me talking. It was Leah talking. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was Lisa talking. It was Lisa Remedy.
Don't ever say that I'm on their side. No, please, God, no.
I know you're not on their side.
My God.
No, you're not. I know you're neutral at best.
Yes. I just try to offer a dialogue. You know what I mean? I offer like a handy dialogue as to explaining standards and practices.
I got it.
I've always been pretty good at that.
But many times it's impossible to explain.
Yeah.
Why it's... You know, there's not a logical...
Well, you don't want to answer.
The Stones draw... the Stones draw a distinction to it.
Sure.
They're singing what this woman can do to a dead man.
Loudly. And, you know, what it says to me in the song is, what a woman she must be.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
And I bet Johnny Cash is having a hell of a time right now. He's a dead man.
Yes. And, you know, I think over the years I probably have been neutral more than you have.
And John Ritter, too.
Yeah. Here comes Charles Broy.
Hi, Charlie.
Mr. Shales has an appointment.
All right, we'll break. All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to be connected. I want to be part of the loop.
It's taken us 8 years to totally disconnect you the way you always wanted to be. So keep this in mind. If I connect you, you will be connected.
Fine. Then connect me.
Fine. Connected you will be.
Good. Hey, Artie?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that we get caught up in a certain kind of thought process?
Thought process?
Yeah, thought process.
What thought process?
Like the thought process we're involved in right now. I think we should try and catch it and put a stop to it.
Fine. And stop it, we shall do.
Good.
The Don and Mike Show.
They have very nice teeth. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Thank you, dude. Joining us now, I think, is Tom Shales. Tom?
Hi.
Hey, there he is, everybody. Hey. Tom Shales.
Yeah.
How you doing, Tom?
Fine. How are you guys?
We're great.
We're doing great. Tom, of course, reviews TV and the Washington Post and other places and writes stuff. And if you have the Larry Sanders box set, Tom is not only featured as a performer, he sits down with Gary Shandling and talks to them about Larry Sanders. Well, we'll talk about that later, because I know we have so many things to talk about with you, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, we've got your book, we've got the new fall TV season and all that.
Let's do your book first.
Oh, okay, but I did just get a residual check from the Larry Sanders Show today.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah, I get checks all the time for like $3.21.
You know, about that, the one thing, and we all rushed out and got that as soon as it came out, when you're talking to him, though, It was you really on the DVD Larry Sanders first season, and they've never come out with anything beyond what they put out there a year or two ago.
Yeah.
It's you talking to Gary Shandling, but I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted more from him. I didn't want any more from you. I like your questions, fine.
Right.
But yeah. I wanted him to be a little Larry Sanders-ish.
Maybe he was afraid.
He was definitely Gary Shandling. Talking, but anyway, weird. You like him, right? You obviously like him so much you were on the show.
I really like him a lot, yeah. And I like all the stuff he's done. Because before that, he did a piece on Showtime, a series called It's the Larry Sanders Show. It's the Gary Shandling Show.
Where he drove a golf cart.
Yeah.
He drove a golf cart like on the highway and stuff.
And you know, as recently as the Emmys, I forgot how funny he is. I mean, because he had a great opening stand-up that he did at the Emmys. He's just a funny guy, and you know, whether he writes his own stuff or whoever he's associated with, I think he still manages to be a very funny guy.
Yeah, me too.
Tom, about your book, the Saturday Night Live book.
Yes.
This is coming out in paperback now, and we give this book a double compliment and ask you a couple of questions. We had you on about a year ago when it came out, and I had read it, and we chatted about it. That book, this is no lie, is so good, and we were on 4th of July vacation, was down at the beach, and I was down there with my kid who was 18, and I said to him, because he doesn't know anything about John Belushi or Bill Murray past the movies I've showed him, I said, read this book. This is about Saturday Night Live. And he didn't really care, but then when it's Adam Sandler talking about stuff, that's what caught my son's attention, and got him to read the entire book, and I reread it. And there was one passage in particular that I wanted to bring up with you here to see who came up with this story that I remember distinctly, and I talked about it on the air after I had reread the book. It's the kind of new cast of Saturday Night Live, the good new cast, Chris Farley, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler.
Uh-huh.
And one day Chris Rock walks into the office, and he's naked, and he has a pool cue. And he shoves the pool cue up the no-no, then pulls it out and licks it.
Yeah, you talked about this on the air.
Now,
it fascinated you, and why I don't understand.
Who, Tom, do you remember from your notes who told that story? Was it Chris Rock or was it Adam Sandler that told that story? Do you remember, or was somebody else? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I mean, it'll be attributed in the book. I could look it up. I don't remember because it might have been one of the writers too who was working then at that time.
It might have been, but it was one of those things that when I read here's why I brought it up. When I read the book the first time, I read it and it was like, oh, okay, God, it's kind of Belushi-ish. My son read the book, and then as my son was reading the book, he came back and said, Dad, how come you didn't tell me this part about Chris Farley? And I said, what part? And he said, well, with the pool cue.
Right.
And so it all came back to me. It is, and also your take on this, Al Franken is a big part of that book.
Yeah.
And Al Franken was a big part of the original Saturday Night Live. And where Al Franken is right now, you know, it's funny. Al Franken is more relevant now than he was back then, even though he had a lot to do with Saturday Night Live. There you go. That's all I got.
Well, he loved
I mean, I don't really have a question.
Is there a question in there at all? Or
no, I want comments on all that. I want comments on Chris Farley. I want comments on Al Franken.
Al was fun. When we went to lunch with Al, he took out a review I'd written of a show he did about, it was a takeoff on Nightline called Late Line or something.
Yeah.
And he had all these little things marked in the review, and he wanted to argue each little point with me. He was very specific. And when the book came out, he called me up, and he was very upset about one thing. He was afraid it gave the impression, something Lauren said, that Al drove a Mercedes. And he was very upset that this was, people were going to, like anybody would care or even notice this in the book, you know.
I think watching
Al
history,
drives a Mercedes. He doesn't drive a Mercedes, so.
Watching Al Franken and reading his books, you get the impression that, I like Al Franken. I like what he has to say, actually. But you get the impression that Al Franken's not somebody that's going to lay down and die if you say something or write something bad about him. Would you get that impression?
Yeah.
I mean, he just goes, wow.
And the interesting thing about this book that Tom...
He holds a grudge.
Yeah.
This book about the history of Saturday Night Live is that Tom and another guy actually interviewed all of these people.
Wow.
And the way
very painstakingly, obviously, from reading the book.
The way that I guess the format was you would talk to Dennis Miller, and then you would go talk to Chris Rock, for instance, and you'd tell Chris Rock what Dennis Miller said, or vice versa.
And, you know, I was and that's exactly how the book's written, and I'm curious, and I don't know if I asked you this the first time when the book came out originally, who was the toughest nut to crack when you were doing these interviews, Tom?
Without a doubt, Mike Murray, because we kept
Myers.
Myers,
right?
I'm putting all their names together in my head.
Mike Chase.
Yeah, I had to call like 44 times. He had this wall of people to protect him from the world.
Wow.
And we kept getting this, oh, Mr. Myers cannot be disturbed. He's a great artiste. He's a blah, 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 blah. And of course, all he was doing was cutting commercials for tie-ins for the Austin Powers Goldmember movie. But, it took forever. And then he only would talk about 30 minutes, which is not much because most of these people talk for much longer. Right. But at least we got him. And also, Adam Sandler was murdered because he does not talk to print reporters. Apparently, somebody misquoted him once, and now he's mad. These people in show business can be very petty. So we had, went to his lawyer, his agent, his manager, his cleaning lady, you know, everybody under the sun, and we guaranteed that he would be able to review what he was going to be quoted in the book so that there could be no mistakes. And by golly, he finally agreed to do it. That was murder, getting him to.
And on the other side, who's the one that gave you the most? Who was the most cooperative when you were writing this book?
Well, Chevy Chase was great, and of course, the poor guy comes off terribly because everybody says how much they hated him. But he was very nice about it. Dan Aykroyd, the older guys were great. Bill Murray took a lot of chasing around just because he's elusive. Also, he doesn't like to have public relations people or press agents. He hates them.
I think I mentioned when you were on before how beloved Gilda Radner was by everybody on that show and how people would say she cracked the book. Generally, there's bad stuff said about everybody in that book, some more than others, but nothing bad about Gilda Radner at all. One thing in this book that did crack me up and still does was the thought that, you know, Joe Piscopo did that so-so Frank Sinatra impression with Eddie Murphy. And Tom writes, as he talks to Joe Piscopo in these later years, that Joe Piscopo is very proud of the fact that he's the voice of Frank Sinatra in that claymation for the Brisk...
Brisk iced tea, right.
And how, when they asked him to do the commercial, and now it's Joe Piscopo saying this. It's not Tom saying, well, this is what I thought he meant. And Joe Piscopo was saying, he had to call the estate of Frank Sinatra and speak to the family to see how they would feel, because it's Joe Piscopo's opinion that he has been endorsed as the official Frank Sinatra impressionist, and he got the feeling that the Sinatra family didn't like the job that Phil Hartman did.
No, they didn't.
This is in the book. Wow. I mean, it's...
But Saturday Night Live, they're supposed to do, you know, caricatures with some bite, some edge to them.
Right. Yeah.
And Joe, whenever they would ask him to do a Sinatra sketch, he might say, well, Frank wouldn't do that. You know?
No, that was...
Yeah, I mean, well,
okay,
that,
Tom, that's the part. That's it.
That's kind of why you see Joe Piscopo so much on TV today.
That's in the book on more than one occasion where they're pitching ideas, which are funny ideas.
Frank wouldn't do that.
Right? Frank wouldn't eat at a deli. Frank wouldn't wait for Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder would wait for Frank.
Yeah.
How?
All probably true, but what, you know, who gives a damn?
Well, how do you work? I mean, on an ensemble cast like that, how do you work with a guy like that? I would imagine that would be unbelievably difficult.
I always complain when I get into a good book. What I hate is getting into a book and knowing that it's going to end very soon. This book is like over 600 pages, and really, I mean, I don't read a lot of real books like this. I mainly read junk like Elmore Leonard, but this book is fascinating. If you've liked Saturday Night Live, to hear it from the people who are speaking, and Tom, I think you do a great job of just presenting what they're saying without editorializing.
I'm wondering if that book's, Tom, are you aware whether that book's in any colleges right now for classes? Because, I mean, it is kind of a, it's quite a history of a major significant part of American television. Tom?
Oh, Tom?
You know, the paperback's actually bigger than the hardcover because we added some interviews.
Wow.
We, and, of course, one is with Mr. Excitement himself, Al Gore.
Oh, wow.
But remember, he did the show, and,
right.
He talked about how he had already made up his mind not to run for president by the time they went on the air that night.
He's got I got the impression he does have, you know, he's got that reputation as being such a dull guy, but seeing him on Letterman a couple of times, he does seem to be, have a sense of humor at least, right?
Oh, yeah. I met him once years ago, and he said he liked Mystery Science Theater. Do you remember that show?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Robots and yeah. I thought that was a riot.
That is funny. So, Tom, before we ask you about some other stuff, the name of your book is it The History of Saturday Night Live? What's the name of it?
It's Live from New York, and then there's a subtitle, An Uncensored History, and blah, 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 by me and James Andrew Miller, the guy you called some other guy.
And it's not full of fluff. You're gonna, when you read this book, it's got the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you get people, which is the best part as far as I'm concerned, you get cast members talking about other cast members, which I never expected in that book.
The way it's lined up is, you know, Molly Shannon says this about Daryl Hammond, and then the next quote is Daryl Hammond saying, well, Molly Shannon is just a total bitch and out of her mind. And I mean, I'm making up this.
Sure.
Right. But one person says something and the other person's reaction without maybe the other person knowing.
You know, I really think if we could talk Tom into it, when the book is written about the 2 decades of this show, I think that's the same style that ought to be employed.
Yes, right. But you two guys interviewed separately.
Yeah.
I guarantee you get 2 different stories.
In soundproof rooms. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And then we go back and we say, Don said this about Mike. Mike says, no. It would be longer than 600 pages. That's the trouble.
Now, Tom, you carry a lot of weight in my house with your reviews of shows. Seriously, quite because I fight with my wife all the time about what we're going to watch, if there's something that we can decide that we both like together, because I like junk and she likes, you know, stuff you like. And we come together on stuff like Larry Sanders, we come together on The Simpsons, we come together on. There are other shows, I'll say to her, for instance, this show, Karen Sisko, this is based on an Elmore Leonard book.
Sort of.
That, yeah, and the movie.
Right.
Which was kind of based on the book. I might want to give it a try. My wife says to me, I guess you're not. She says, I'm going to wait to see what Tom Shales writes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? You can't devote 5 minutes to watch a show unless Tom Shales says it's a good show. But she does go on what you say.
Well, that's much responsibility.
What is the best new show on TV this year?
You know, it's such a moot point because there's so little that's good. But in terms of dramas, I really liked Cold Case, mainly because I liked the woman who's in it, Catherine Morris.
Yes.
And comedies, they're really weak. I mean, one of the few good ones I thought was, it's just a formula thing called 2 and a Half Men. It's about a single guy and his married brother, and the married brother gets thrown out and he moves in with a single guy with his little 10-year-old son. I mean, that's been done, you know, like 3 times already. But that's kind of funny, and Charlie Sheen is in it. But they're just, the comedy development out there is really poor. I don't know why.
What's your feelings on a show that debuts tonight on CBS, King of Queens?
Well, it's a returning show. It's too much like Everybody Loves Raymond to me. I mean, CBS tried to clone Raymond about 7 times. Blue-collar guys, you know, kind of schlubby. For some reason, they like big guys with big beer bellies, like Jim Belushi, John's brother.
Yeah.
What's his show called? According to Jim.
According to Jim, yeah.
Which is really the same show as The King of Queens, when you get right down
to it. Oh, and Tom, let me just ask you one thing, because the Jim Belushi thing made me think of the promos I've seen. Do you find it distasteful? I know ABC's going to run these episodes of The 8 Simple Rules with John Ritter.
Yeah.
Do you find it distasteful? I mentioned this on the air. Tell me if I'm wrong. I understand they're going to run them. They're going to get ratings from them.
Yeah.
And they're going to say it's a tribute. But when they run a promo that has a box, you know, a TV screen in the corner where they're showing the highlights, and on the other side of the screen, it's the star dancing and pointing at the camera like, hey, I'm cool, watch my show. And it's John Ritter dancing and pointing at the camera and going, hey, number one. Hey,
yeah, how do you feel about that?
I think it's the worst taste of anything I can recall. I mean, I watched that one-hour special they did about his life.
Yeah.
That's when they first showed these promos. And, the sensitive piano music comes in, and the announcer is very, like he's at a funeral, the last episodes, share them with your family.
Yes!
That's a really cheap way of exploiting his death. I just thought that was sickening.
And I want to ask you about dramas. Where do you weigh in on these CSI clones that seem to be popping up everywhere? And it seems to be getting worse and worse, both in movies and in television, that the original ideas, once something hits, it just seems to last for 2 years, that no original ideas come out of Hollywood.
I know. I mean, I've seen enough microscopic photography now to last me a million years of hairs and wounds and, somebody's esophagus. And, I think they've pretty well pulled that string as far as it can go, don't you think?
Have they really? Because if you look at Law and Order,
yeah.
And I understand they're different shows.
And it was around before CSI.
But they have, if I'm not wrong, I think at least three and maybe four Law and Order shows. There's only two CSIs. I mean, I watched Cold Case 2. And that was one my wife and I could agree on.
Isn't there one about the Wild West, too, that they came out that it might have been canceled already, but back in the Sheriff's Day where they were doing the same type of thing?
And it was on, like, Showtime or something.
Yeah, it
probably
cable show.
No.
Yeah.
But that'll work, though. Even if you're sick of it, you'll watch it because you go, well, it's kind of like CSI. Like, why do people watch four different versions of Law and Order when it's really the same show? It's just cops, gritty cops, going after bad guys.
Yeah, well, they're all pretty well done. You got to admit that. And it's that style of, no frills. It's kind of a no-frills show. It's just a story. And bang, bang, that little music comes on. And there's no, there's really no home life of the cops or any kind of filler. There's no digressions. It's just the story. And I guess people like that.
And Tom, last thing, and then we'll let you go. I know we used to love it. You used to be on Kathy C. Gifford all the time. Have you seen the Kelly Ripa show?
Yeah.
And I mentioned, I thought a couple of weeks ago, she has the potential to turn into Kathy Lee. What did you think of her TV show?
That's a horrible thing to say about anybody. It's okay. It's just a formula sitcom. It's really for kids. I mean, they're throwing food at each other and squirting each other with ketchup. It's just a notch above the Three Stooges, only there's only two of them, Kelly and Faith Ford. They both deserve to be in something a little more dignified, I think.
And in general, not really the greatest fall season compared to some of the past years, right?
No, it's really bad. I mean, I know people say, oh, you critics say that every year, but this year we mean it.
last question, Tom. If you're stuck, you got one. Do you watch Leno or Letterman?
Letterman, because something nutty is more likely to happen.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Good man.
Yeah.
You ever thought that people watch Leno just because it has bright colors?
And I guess if they're stoned or drunk or something, look at the bright color. I think it's ugly. That whole show is pretty ugly.
Yeah. Including a monologue.
Good man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, always great talking with you. And the Saturday Night Live book, we're the last guys to endorse books because we can barely read. But it is a really great read if you're a fan of the show.
Yeah, if you were there and for the, especially if you were back there when the whole thing started. Yeah.
Even if you weren't.
Yeah, even if you weren't. I'm sorry, Tom. Sorry about that
kidding,
plug. But it really brought back those great memories when we all, and everybody remembers this, you literally would cancel whatever you were doing. You would come back home if you were out, and you would all watch Saturday Night Live. And it's been rare that there's been that kind of TV.
It's never happened since.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happened since, not even with the JR stuff, because people didn't watch it the same way. It was like, well,
no, nothing, nothing as much that a generation identified with as much.
I don't think.
All right, Tom, great talking to you.
Same here. Thank you very much.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Tom Shales of the Washington Post.
Pulitzer Prize winner.
He's great.
How about that, huh?
He's fun. And, even if you're not interested in the material he writes about as far as reviews, it is so much fun when he writes a fan of somebody, because nobody can rip him up like Tom can.
He's so good at being mean.
Yeah. He's mean with big words, Don.
Yeah, it's like he says you suck ass, but he writes it in such a way that you would read it and go, I could accept that.
And, speaking of the first part of that interview, I want to sometime reopen the fact that you're so fascinated with that Chris Farley thing. It gets back to a theory that that I'm beginning to really develop.
Mike, shove that for tomorrow.
I will.
So
I will.
We're going to give away a digital camera here, give away some cash. I think we've thrown this out. We've tempted you with this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on.
I'm thinking on the fly here right now because I'm thinking about the other day.
Don't you? What the other day?
The Q-tip.
Would you eat her egg?
No, the Q-tip.
I did that for a gag.
I know. I know it's all coming together.
I didn't lick the Q-tip like Chris Farley licked.
Right.
The Q-stick that had been.
I understand.
In his hole.
I understand. It's just you're fascinated with that anything that involves there.
Fascinated / disgusted.
Okay.
Thank you. Now we've thrown this out. Toop the teller.
Yes.
And I don't mean we've thrown it out. I mean we've not discarded it. We've thrown it out. We've said we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And damn it, we're going to do it.
Cool.
It's another game like Honk for Cash that really, in theory, is a very funny, very cute, very simple game.
It is.
I'm sorry.
It's your face. You're making me laugh now. You're making me laugh the way you're looking at me. It's funny.
All right, stop for a second. Chris Farley, as Tom Shields writes in his book, walks into the writer's room at Saturday Night Live. Walks in. He is naked.
Yeah.
Chris Farley is naked. He picks up a pool cue. He bends over, shoves it up his rear, pulls it out. There's stuff on it.
Ah! Does it say that in the book?
Yes.
And then I didn't read that part.
He licks it.
I stopped it after the early cast. That's pretty disgusting.
He licks it.
Wow. That's disgusting. Why did you say it again? Why? I'm done. I'm sorry. I won't say anything more.
I don't know why I said it. It was a passage from a book that I read that stayed with me.
Sure.
For some reason.
Okay.
Stayed with me.
You can practically see it the way you describe it.
Well, you can practically see it the way that Tom wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way that whoever it is described it to Tom.
Uh-huh.
It's odd.
I'm not sure I would have wanted to be in that room.
No.
According to the book, laughter everywhere.
Oh, I
smash hit laughter. And the first time I read it, I laughed out loud.
You know what?
Picturing it.
I say I wouldn't want to be in that room, but I probably would have been laughing just like they laughed when Elvis shut out the TV set.
Right.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Except Elvis didn't put the TV up his rectum.
No.
The difference there.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
Well, that's good. I have closure on that, right?
All right. Tube the teller.
Yeah. Tube the teller.
Here's what you do. Chance for you to win some cash, win a $500 digital camera from the Discovery Channel. This game should work better than when we came up with this in theory 3 or 4 years ago, because cell phones are smaller now.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you pull up to the drive-up window of a bank. And you say, when she says, you know,
welcome to Nations Bank,
you say, hi, I'm here to do some business or not, but I'm going to pass my cell phone through the tube.
Right.
Now, this doesn't work if you go to a drive-through window, a drive-up window, and you pull out the drawer. You got to go to the one where
it shoots up a tube and shoots back over to the teller.
What you do is you call us up. You're in line at the bank at the drive-through. When you get up there and you hear the lady say, hello, please put your information in the tube and send it to me. You take the telephone and you say to the lady, if this call makes it through and you're able to say hello to Don and Mike, I'm going to win a big prize. Then you put your cell phone turned on inside the tube where you would normally put your banking business.
Right. And you shoot the tube over to the teller.
You put it about in the vacuum thing. And hopefully it goes through we hear the when it goes through.
Sometimes it makes it, sometimes it doesn't.
Anyway, first one to make it through to where there's a teller on the other end that says, I have the phone. And then we'll say to the teller, now, turn on the microphone outside and ask the person in the car to say hello.
That's right.
You do all that, you're going to win $100 and the Casio digital camera worth $500.
This, unlike certain other games, this has been successful before.
Yep.
We've done it before.
It works.
And in theory, it should work even better now because phones are smaller now.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's better cell service now. So if you follow this at all, call 877-365-3636.
Very good.
And if you don't follow it, go down to your local pool hall.
Yeah, right.
Find a pool cue.
Take off all your clothes and put it in. Oh, dear.
There you go.
That was not a tape.
That was not a tape. That was me. Yeah. That was. I want to dedicate that one. To old CH. LH.
Yeah, the holster.
LH. Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
L.R.
Lisa Herndon.
Oh, wow.
Lisa Herndon. Dedicate that to you too, Lisa.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, it's mainly for Lisa Remedy.
Lisa Remedy.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We really, really like the Don and Mike Show. It is the best damn thing on the radio. We really, really like the Don and Mike Show.
This is Ghetto-licious.
To them, all of the DJs flow. The Don and Mike Show. They always have wacky things to say when Elvis died his cold and weighed 40 pounds. They found the king on the toilet loaded and round.
Give me a Hummer.
When Elvis died his cold and made a great sound. They hammered all his teeth out onto the ground.
Quick, quick.
Wheeled out of Graceland as a vegetable.
Oh, sludge.
He died, now it's time for Don and Mike. They are the guys we really like.
The Don and Mike Show. Occasional A-holes. Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the east side.
Up down. Look at me. I'm in tatters. I am shattered.
It's not the Stones, though.
No.
It's Rod Stewart.
But it sounds like the Stones, doesn't it?
I had the pleasure when we were... I didn't have to see this when we were on a vacation down at the beach. At Ocean City, they had a Jimmy Buffett tribute band.
Right.
And they also had, a Beach Boys tribute band.
Uh-huh.
And some douchebag has a Rod Stewart tribute band.
Wow.
Said, sing just like Rod, dresses just like Rod. And if you wanted to, you could have seen him at noon, 3, 8, and 11 p.m. down on the boardwalk.
Those tribute bands are very, very popular. There's so many of them that they make it tough for other bands to get work.
I know, Mike.
You are a great fan. Thank you so much. Anybody here never seen us before? Anybody?
I never seen it before.
A couple of people. Well, our show is the memories of Elvis.
Do you make fun of Elvis?
No, this is a tribute to the late king of rock and roll. You know, we're not here to make fun of Elvis or take his place or anything like that. We're just here to bring you back some memories.
Okay.
Forget it.
Okay, let's play the game here.
Tube the Teller.
Tube the Teller. We've not done this really seriously for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, fun.
It was a funny idea that really never quite panned out, that you pull up to that thing where you put the thing in the thing and you shoot it through. And then,
yeah, but you have to press the thing first.
Yeah, we've explained it. Let's do it.
And you have to close the phone inside the thing.
Yes. Spencer.
Yes.
Spencer, who's a girl. Hi, Spencer.
Hi.
Hi there. Where are you from?
I'm from Mechanicsville, Maryland.
All right. You must be listening on JFK.
Yes, I am.
Right. 106.7.
Okay. And I know it's great that lots of those banks are opening later hours now with their drive-thru.
No, they close at 6.
All right. Well, you're in line right now?
I'm in line, yeah. Getting ready to send my deposit through.
All right. Now, this is not... See, this is why this is not like Honk for Cash.
Yeah, because people can wait and get
you
ready
to
move up.
You can actually get a...
Yeah, I'm talking to them now. Just a minute.
All right. Go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
Tell
the lady that you're on the air with us and that you're going to send the phone through and that you can win a digital camera money if the phone makes it through and she says hello.
Okay, I'm going to send my phone through, and if you could say hello to Don and Mike, I can win $100 and a digital phone, okay?
What do I get?
Ah, good question.
I'll bring you the $100.
Wow, you're
winning
$100.
But I can't get back to
school.
Yes, I do. Can I send it through?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I got to hurry. I'm going to put
pain
it through
in
now.
Pain in the ass, tell her.
Hold
let her
on.
Play the game.
Jesus, okay.
Keep your $100. I'll just give her some Applebee's food or something.
Let's see what happens.
Phone goes into the tube.
Uh-huh. Sounds like...
Now it's inside. Yeah. Now this is...
Came back out.
Yep. Not yet. Hold on. Do we have a winner already?
Hello?
Is this the teller?
Yes.
Whoa!
Before we celebrate, and I don't doubt that it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
Would you turn on the microphone and tell the lady out in the car that you've received the telephone so we can hear her?
Okay, I'm just closing up, so you got to wait a minute.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, that was her. Oh. That was the other lady.
Oh, my gosh, what is happening here?
The teller's a handful, I'll tell you that right now.
This is the teller now, right?
Is this
is me.
This is you, the teller?
Yes, I've never done this before. Right. So what are you doing? What's happening?
Can we hear the lady? Can you talk to the lady who sent the phone over? Say I have it. Say hi to Don and Mike. Have the lady over at the car say hi to Don and Mike.
He wants you to say hi to Don and Mike. Oh, me too?
No, just the lady in her car.
Hi, Don. Hi.
There it is.
That's the winner. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Now, and listen, how greedy are you to take $100 from that lady?
You should let her keep that. It was her idea.
We'd be glad to give you a prize. Would you like a prize?
That's fine. I don't even know what's going on. Okay. I'm just ready to go home.
Okay, well, listen, we'll give you a $25 gift certificate to Applebee's.
Okay.
Enjoy their never-ending basket of slow-smoked ribs. All you can eat, BBQ rib tips, now at your local Applebee's.
Now you should send the phone back to the lady in the car. Let's see if it makes it the other way.
Please send it back. Don't turn the phone off. Thank you for participating. Okay. Send it back.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And remember, kids, you can't spell teller without the word, without the letter C.
Oh, I think it's making it back the other way.
C.
Can't spell time.
Hello.
Hey, there you are. Good job.
I got it back.
Wow, now how fast was that? Now, Spencer, I don't know if you were able to hear this or not. We managed to get your $100 back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you get to keep the $100 yourself.
We're going to send that high-strung lady in the bank a gift certificate to Applebee's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you keep the $100, and now you've also won the Casio Excellum EX S3 digital camera.
Courtesy
of the Discovery Channel. Watch MythBusters, the show that puts investment urban myths to the test. That's Friday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central on Discovery Channel. Your camera is valued at $500.
Fantastic.
Woo!
And you win $100, and the lady in there can go to Applebee's.
Not that there's anything. No, she was fine.
Yeah.
She was cooperative, and we shouldn't be too hard on the teller.
Hard on.
Thank you.
Good job, Spencer.
You know what you could do? You could use to see if the teller actually photographs. You know, that's where you can tell someone's dead or alive. You actually take a picture of the teller to see if she's actually flesh and bone.
Well, I suppose it's closing time.
Yes.
Time to get off, fly off to some other activity.
All right, well, congratulations, Spencer. Thanks.
Thank you.
You know, we did a bit. We finally have done a bit.
Do you want to try it again for a lesser prize?
Yes, we do. Thanks. Hold on, Spencer.
Okay.
Congratulations.
That's seamless. That's pretty amazing. Textbook.
Let's go to Brett in Salt Lake City. Brett.
Hi.
Brett, your radio station, I want to give him a plug. It's Call, right?
Yep.
K-A-L-L.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City.
Very good.
Incidentally, lots of money has changed hands simply because we're still on in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. There was nobody bet on that one.
And get this. The ratings in our time slot, noon to four since we've been on, have gone up.
Really?
Cool. Yes, they have.
You know, I should remember that because Dick Ferry was complimenting me on that today.
Brett?
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm in line right now.
Dick Ferry show.
So,
I don't know why that popped up.
We hired a sales guy here. His name is Dick Ferry.
Uh-huh. Dick Ferry.
And hopefully Lisa.
Remedy.
The C-H. The C-H.
Okay. Holster.
Thank you. I keep wanting to call it Handler. And really, Holster is the better word.
Yeah.
Her bad mood has not permeated the show thus far that Dick is feeling the effects.
Yeah, well, wait till Dick Ferry waves his wand. Are there any Dick Ferries out in Salt Lake City?
Not that I've met.
You know, I was talking to Dick. I mean, we're talking about this guy a lot. He's a new sales executive hired here by the station. And I saw him during the commercial break, and he said, if you would just pass along from me, Dick Ferry, that my favorite part of the show today is when you talked about that Chris Farley part in the Saturday Night Live.
He enjoyed that.
Dick Ferry loved that.
Favorite. Go figure.
Go. Now, listen, Brett, we've wasted enough time on you. Are you there yet?
Yeah. Let me talk to her real fast.
Okay, go ahead.
I just have a suspicion it might not go quite as well.
Hi. I'm going to put the phone through now, so just talk to Don and Mike. Okay, I'm putting the phone in now.
All right, well, we'll hit one.
Yeah. I love that sound.
Great sound. Welcome to Dumbass Savings and Loan.
Hello?
Hello! That was fantastic.
Is this the teller?
I thought it wouldn't work. Is this the teller?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Listen, would you do us a favor? We'd love to give you a $25 gift certificate to Applebee's. If you would turn on the microphone and talk to that dumbass out there in line.
And tell him to say hi to Don and Mike.
Okay. Hey, can you say hi?
Hello.
We're the DJs. Say, have him say, hey, just say this. Hey, dumbass, say hi to Don and Mike.
Oh, I can't say that.
can you call him Jerkface?
How about Dummy?
Hey, Dummy.
Okay, we'll do that.
Say, hey, Dummy, say hi to Don and Mike.
Hey, Dummy, say hi to Don and Mike.
What?
Hey, Dummy, say hi to Don and Mike.
God.
Hi, Don and Mike.
There you go.
What?
I bet his account is overdrawn. Well, listen, you're very nice. Hold on. We're going to get your information and give you a $25 gift certificate to Applebee's.
Awesome.
Never-ending basket of slow-smoked ribs. Enjoy. Thank you for your time.
Wanted to send it back to him?
We got to get the information from her first.
Very good.
All right, thanks. Hold on, lady.
Okay.
There you go. And that's how you play tube. Oh, and that guy, we'll give the guy $100.
Very good.
Okay, the guy out in Salt Lake. What was his name? Brett.
Didn't that make up for Honk for Cash a few days ago?
I don't know how to react to that. I don't know how to react to the fact that we set a bit up. We've never done it.
We've never had two in a row. And we've never had the first person do it right.
Great. And the second teller was really great. Hey, Dummy. It went from dumbass to jerk face. Can't do that.
No.
But how about Dummy?
Okay. You know, maybe we don't wait 3 years next time. Because, God, that's just too much success. Makes me uncomfortable.
There you go.
Don't worry. There are lots of new games coming, though. I know the pool cue game is just around the corner, too.
All right, who brought it up this time?
Huh? Yeah. Hey, I can't deny that.
Mr. Homo Erectus.
Well, it's all my conversations with the salespeople today.
Hi, Dick Ferry. Hey, do you think he has an extension yet?
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, no. Hold on, let me just... Let's call Big Al, see if he's back there. We've not spoken to him since we went through all the contracts.
Nope. Saw him today in the hallway.
Actually, when I saw him, he said, I'd like to see more of you. And I said, that's the reason we signed the contract.
Yep.
We don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah, never. No more contact at all. No meeting.
And, no, this is...
Hello, this is Alan Linewand.
Hello, Alan.
Broadcasting WJFK Radio.
This is Alan Linewand.
Available right now, so please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you soon.
I got one for him.
Okay.
Thanks, and have a nice day.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Yeah, Alan, this is Dick Ferry. I have been quit. F you and your whole staff. I'm tired of being called Dick Ferry. Ain't that right, Don? Hey, Dick. Hi, please stop calling me. Hey, this is Dick Ferry. Eat one. Hey, look. It's Dick Ferry. Stop torturing me like that. Bye, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Alan.
Very good.
Okay, Buzz.
Yes, hi.
Buzz, what is the... Oh, I forgot to do this.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Hey, Buzz, your lead story today has to be Dick Ferry.
Quit.
Leah Remini.
Yes.
Lisa Remini.
Right.
C. Holster. What is it?
Nope. None of those things. It's Rush Limbaugh gives new meaning to the phrase color analyst.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Hello there, Mr. Limbaugh.
Yes.
Mama.
Gonna have some explaining to do.
Stay tuned. For news and comment.
Hey.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You know what's great?
What?
We're still recording on Alan's machine.
All right. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Now we're just wasting everybody's time, but more importantly, we're wasting Alan's time because the way that these machines work here,
the best part,
you have to let the message go to the end before you can delete it.
Good morning, Mr. Linewand. Do you have things to do today while you're listening to your machine?
Mike, this was all very...
Dick Ferry-eshional.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
General managers of the Dummy Depot, Don and Mike.
Howdy, it's time for Buzz's News and Comments. Buzz brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. It is doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor.
Clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax 1-888 Drive V Max. Made it up to you. Yesterday we got all jammed up at the end of that. There were two full segments, and here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Well, people are wondering if Rush Limbaugh's true colors are showing. They're wondering if he might be just a bit racist. On ESPN Radio Sunday morning, Limbaugh suggested that Philadelphia Eagles quarterback gets more credit than he deserves.
I think it was on TV. I think it was on the...
Because he's black.
It's on ESPN? It's
simulcast, yeah.
Oh, really? Is there a countdown show simulcast on...
There's ESPN Radio also.
You know, I've been educated now about network radio, and I know that we used to, you know, say Westwood One. But I understand that if you work there, if you work at ESPN Radio... They have much of the same...
Yeah, same stuff.
They get
same synergy, Don.
It's a network. Yeah, it's a network.
Hello.
So, but either way, I thought he made the comment on the show with Chris Berman.
Right, yeah,
the
indeed.
TV show.
Either way. Because Rush doesn't like facts to get in the way of his opinions, he likes to blame the media for everything. Sunday, he accused the media of rooting for a black man to succeed as a quarterback. Limbaugh questioned McNabb's credentials. Ironic for a commentator who has none of his own. Some Rush critics say his comments are worse than the one that got Jimmy the Greek fired. Quoting McNabb, it's sad. I thought we were through with that.
Didn't he say, like, there's a social concern
yes.
in the NFL to promote black quarterbacks?
Yes, he did.
I mean, you know the NFL better than I do, but that is ridiculous. I mean, isn't it basically just a you're trying to win in the NFL?
Here's the thing. They hire
you need to promote black quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't think so.
They hire this guy. They want him to be crazy, but they don't want him to be political.
Right.
They know that, you know, it's the same as anybody else you put in that situation. If you get sadly, and I'm going to be half divided on this with Rush Limbaugh.
Sure.
And I'm not condoning what he said.
No.
But sadly, in this day and age, unless you're a jock, unless you've played the game,
right.
you're not qualified to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perception, that unless you actually played, doesn't matter that you've been sitting on your ass for 40 years watching it, you're not qualified.
Right.
So, that, in that regard, I cut Rush Limbaugh some slack. He's entitled to an opinion, mm-hmm. even though he's not a jock. And I think he said this stuff because... They don't have him on the show because he knows a lot about football.
Right.
They got him on the show because he does his big, gigantic, oversized head
it's
radio show.
Political trip, which is, you know, I mean, really, that's just, that's coming from his politics.
When I've watched the forced chemistry on that show, you know, every once in a while, some idiot like Steve Young, the jock, will say something like, well, that's politically incorrect. And Rush Limbaugh will say, you've told me not to mention politics on this show.
Yeah, which is just totally jive.
And,
right?
And you know, Chris Berman's in there. Because his neck is so freaking tight.
I disagree, though, with his premise anyway. I mean, it's just not
I
a right
I think he's saying it just to be controversial.
Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. It is a little racist, but I mean, it's also, I think, stupid because I don't think that's why you get quarterbacks in the NFL doing that.
I mean, listen.
At that level, doesn't, I mean.
Excuse me, Mike, I'm sorry.
I'm asking you, does it matter to a head coach, really? I mean, do you really think it matters?
And it's not a Jimmy the Greek comment.
No, it's not.
And you have to give, as much as it pains me to say this, you have to give Rush Limbaugh that, too. Jimmy the Greek said, they, meaning blacks, breed better athletes.
Right, right.
Jimmy the Greek was over the line way back in the day when there wasn't even a line.
Mm-hmm.
This Limbaugh thing, you know, I just think he's trying to get some pub, and it's working for him.
They did hire him because he's controversial.
Because we're talking about it, and he's talking about it, and I know I speak for, you know, we're not on in Philadelphia now, but for anybody that has Donovan McNabb on their fantasy team, and I know Rob A does,
mm-hmm.
the question is not black or white. The question is just, can Donovan McNabb get a touchdown?
Yeah.
Can he get one touchdown?
It needs to be stated that his best fantasy week thus far has been the bye week because... He didn't go negative.
Yeah, and he said negative points.
Mr. Limbaugh's.
Yes, Donovan.
This is M. Donovan McNabb.
What can I do for you with my big fat head?
Hello there.
what is it that you said about me there, Mr. Limbaugh's?
I'm not going to share it with you. I'm going to run away. I am a big, fat idiot.
Hey, Mr. Limbaugh, don't run away from me. Oh, Rush.
I apologize. That was sent out there through my hemorrhoidal tooth view.
Thank you. Mr. Limbaugh's. How come they have so many white conservatives?
Oh, that's a good point. Don't make stereotypes around me. Oh, I need to squeeze another one. Yes,
Mr. Sir. Limbaugh, yeah, my mama was some junky soup.
I don't know. I think he might be in bigger trouble than he thinks.
I don't think he's in any trouble at all.
You think
really?
He'll survive it?
Yeah. It's not over the top like Jimmy the Greek was.
Well, a man can hope, can he?
Yeah, he can't, but
can I hope just a little bit?
Yeah.
That he's in bigger trouble?
It's not going to happen.
I hope so. I hope.
It's not going to happen.
I hope for a lot of reasons.
Can't now, you got to be like, and I hesitate to even give him any.
I mean, on the bigot scale, you have to be a Jimmy the Greek on the bigot scale.
Or you got to be like this guy. I've heard about this guy in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you people in Rochester who are hearing us know this. There's some disc jockey there who apparently on a website made called the mayor of Rochester, equated him to a monkey or an orangutan, and the guy's black.
Right.
So that disc jockey got fired.
Okay.
Now you can look at that and go, okay, that's closer to Jimmy the Greek and closer to Howard Cosell, and
yeah.
You know, even though
yeah.
you have free speech.
I think you're dead on. As much as I would like to see something happen to Rush Limbaugh, and I think that maybe if you scratch deep below the surface of Rush Limbaugh, you might find some real ugly thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the way he sounds every day. But I think you're absolutely right that he probably will survive this, because it's not,
and they're getting,
it is not in that league.
They're getting free pub.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
getting free pub. And I guarantee there's going to be at least one person turns on ESPN Sunday morning who's maybe not seen. And when you turn it on, you're gonna love it the way they treat him. Because I've watched the show. It's the four main guys sitting at the big desk. And Rush Limbaugh's at a little table. Like, you know, at Thanksgiving when you've got the main table and you've got the
right.
table for kiddies?
Yeah, they have him on the other side.
Rush Limbaugh's in the corner by himself.
Well, that has nothing to do with the broadcast. That was just, they requested that. That's good with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at him on TV, he looks like Charles Grodin from 3 Mile Island.
But can you imagine the smell? They're eating fried food during the day. It's Chris Berman on one side and Rush Limbaugh.
Man.
Good on your next visit. Rush. This is a right-wing political move, ladies and gentlemen.
I guarantee that's the spinniest thing. And the thing is, it'll help the effort's ratings.
Oh, no. Yeah.
A lot of people would turn his radio show on today to hear what he's going to say
right.
about
I
it.
I hate the fact that you're right about that, but you're dead on about it. I think you're absolutely right. I think
by one of my ties made by my lovely wife.
The last time that...
Have you heard that?
No, his wife makes ties?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, has for a long time.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes, she actually slept with me if I'd promote her ties.
The last time Disney mogul Michael Eisner...
Who's that colored boy playing quarterback?
There he is. That's real Rush right there.
Rush. Now, if he says that,
You know he doesn't say it on camera. He's probably too bright to say, but you know what? Give him time.
Yeah.
Give him a little time.
Drop an NB somewhere along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
N-bomb? Okay, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think it would be the N-bomb. I think it would be just what you said, like that. But he'd mean it, you know?
Colored.
Yeah.
I think, let me just say that here, I believe that color makes no difference when a quarterback's playing. There are a lot of great colored quarterbacks playing now. Dante Culpepper is a fantastic colored quarterback. What? Hello?
Back to you, Boomer. We can only hope.
Well, the last time Disney mogul Michael Eisner wrote a book, it didn't sell very well. But this time will be different, according to the publisher. Eisner's new book is called Camp. It's about his childhood experiences at summer camp.
Oh, my God.
A source in the publishing world says, quote, "He wrote a lot of it himself, and I heard it was pretty awful. Eisner is not a writer," end quote.
Smith to Eisner, over.
Smith, good to hear from you. How are the sales of my book, Camp, going?
Sad to say, sir, they're not going very well, and I've read the book myself. Did you actually write the book? Over.
Smith, I don't need your critiques. Here's what I need you to do. Are you with me, Smith?
I'm with you, sir. Over.
I need to go to the Disney main account, take out $650,000, spread it evenly in small bills across the country, and buy copies of my book so it'll be a number one bestseller.
I'd be glad to, sir. May I recommend, though, that in the second printing, you take the part out where you were hazed when the children took a pool cue and shoved it up your rear. And, sir, why did you lick said pool cue over?
Because of the taste. Smith, it's very important to put in the section about our hours in the camp latrine. Remember, Smith? I do.
Do I, sir?
I love you, Smith.
I love you, sir.
Get right on that.
Get right on what, sir?
Get right on my Mickey sickle.
Smith, over and out.
Oh, Smith.
Eisner. Mr. Eisner.
Wait, wait, Smith. My secretary's coming. Get off the phone and do what I told you.
Smith out.
Love you, bye.
Smith and Eisner, look for the comic book.
There you go.
That's his right-hand man.
Apparently so. Mm-hmm. Actor Colin Farrell is just a little on the destructive side in a recent interview.
Mr. Eisner.
Yes,
Smith. Sir, are we in a secure line?
I believe we're in a secure line. My receptionist has left.
May I touch your space mountain?
Yes, you may, Smith. Come right up from the bottom floor.
Actor Colin Farrell's a little on the destructive side. In a recent interview, he said he told his shrink just how much he'd abused pills and booze. He says the shrink asked him to write it down. Here's what he wrote. In a week, 20 tabs of ecstasy, yeah. 4 grams of cocaine,
yeah.
6 grams of speed,
yeah.
1/2 ounce of hashish,
yeah.
3 bottles of Jack Daniels, yeah. And 12 bottles of red wine. End quote.
How much time has he been with Don Cox?
No. Wow. Farrell says the shrink looked at him and asked, "Do you wonder why you're depressed?" Farrell says he's still self-destructive. Quoting one director, it was a mistake for him to be that honest. It would make it more expensive to insure him on pictures in the future.
Wow.
Word is the Roman Catholic Church may be about to get its first black pope, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Not
if Rush Limbaugh can help it.
Right.
A colored pope? Absolutely not. Your Holiness, Pope John Paul. This is Rush Limbaugh. How are you? Hello there.
Can you imagine? Take Rush Limbaugh out of it.
Sure.
Can you think of all the Catholic people that it would piss off if there was a black pope?
Some of the biggest bigots in the world in the Catholic Church.
I want to say hi to all my friends and constituents.
I mean, they're big bigots everywhere, but there's some big bigots in the Catholic Church.
In Chicagoland. And also in Greater Boston.
South Boston, there you go.
This am Pope Leroy Washington II. How you doing?
Oh, what a strange world we live in.
Yes, and like I said, it's just talk at this point, but it is talk.
I love the clothes, though. They're beautiful clothes.
It's a different hat you're wearing, Your Holiness. Right now, we're being asked to pray for the very ill Pope John Paul. Quoting one cardinal, he's in a bad way. Quoting an archbishop, the Pope is nearing the end of the road. The Vatican says the reports of the pontiff's pending demise are exaggerated.
I saw him on TV this morning. He's on the Today Show this morning, and I don't think they're exaggerated.
Yeah. I'll be styling in my wicked hat.
How many, what's the pool on the Pope? What do you think? A month? 2 months?
I think he's like Bob Hope-ish. I think when we did the Hope or Pope
thing. You
think
he's going to survive?
Yeah, I think he's eternal. I mean,
so that's two people on the show so far. Rush Limbaugh and the Pope. Both of them will survive.
Yes. Right. Which will survive longer? Rush Limbaugh will.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so. Well,
unless there is a God.
We'll find out, won't we? George Clooney was touched last year when a woman told him about her daughter having cancer. Clooney would call occasionally to see how the girl was doing. Sometimes he'd send gifts.
Let me just break in here. George Clooney, you know I'm a big fan. I know you've been in Washington making your show K Street. And I've been called a faggot because I'm such a fan. Mm-hmm. I'd like to announce, George, I have cancer.
Don, you're lying. I'm sorry.
Of course
I am. We must expose this.
Of course I am.
That is, it's you're.
But let me get back to George that I have cancer.
You're embarrassing me.
I have.
This is a cheap ploy to just win over George Clooney.
I have belly button cancer.
Wow. From years of lint buildup.
Years of abuse.
Well, one day George called and left a message saying, "Great news, I have a private plane and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon and I are all coming to see you."
George, my dream is that before the cancer takes my belly button, you will meet me at a billiards hall. Oh, where perhaps we can play a game of pool together.
We know how that'll end up.
Well, after George left that message, the woman called back to say, don't bother, her daughter had died suddenly.
All right, so let's reset this, because we're goofing here. There's a woman, her daughter has cancer, she sends a letter to Clooney.
Right.
Clooney calls him, Clooney returns it and says, hey, I'd love to get involved, and I'm going to get Brad Pitt there.
Sends gifts for the girl, calls the woman occasionally to get updates on the girl's condition. One day he calls and he says he's coming, he's bringing some of his Hollywood friends with him. And she says, well, you know, no, the girl has suddenly died.
Okay.
Then the woman's sister calls George's answering machine and kills herself right there on the phone.
Jesus.
The next time Clooney heard from the woman was through her lawyer to announce that the woman was suing George for wrongful death over her sister's suicide. Clooney's publicist says the woman and her suicidal sister are actually the same person and that no one actually died.
Well, now this is going to mess it up for guys like me who just want to meet a movie star that I like. He's going to think I'm nuts now.
That story is pretty over the top.
It is indeed. In fact, if you caught the message there, great news, I'm getting a private plane, and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon and I are all coming to see you. It was at that point, George was already suspicious. That's why he left that message, and they continued to follow the story. And his allegation is the woman's a con artist and did this exactly as one of you said, to get close to him.
George.
But it didn't work.
My belly button story is true.
I got my mouth hanging open like it's never hung open before. I mean, where are the other details? How do they know that this is fake?
That's what George and his lawyer and his publicist are saying.
I mean, is there a body? I mean, when somebody dies, there's a body, there's an autopsy. It's pretty easy to figure out.
They're saying, George's people are saying there is no body, there was no suicide, that it was a fake, and that all of this was staged to try to con him.
Look at my belly button, George.
But how does she sue him? If was she just trying to get him close to her? Is that what?
Again, I haven't seen the lawsuit itself.
it doesn't make any sense.
Clooney's people are not sharing a lot of details about it.
He's
afraid. He didn't want. What we're hearing now is he didn't want the story to get out at all because he's afraid it would have, in their words, a chilling effect on charities like the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
This woman and I both share the same concern. It's very hard to get close to our favorite star, George.
He won't. He won't get out of the B mode for this. He wants him to. Don wants to meet George Clooney.
I do. I like George.
Well, now it's not going to happen.
And I'll tell you, George, my belly button's fine.
Well, but it's not going to happen now.
I'm cancer free.
He still won't come see you.
Listen to this. And this is no lie. I had Wilms tumor when I was a kid.
That's true.
I had cancer when I was a kid.
That is true.
You have found a technicality.
I have only one kidney. I am a cancer survivor. I swear on my kid's
life.
That
is the truth.
I am a cancer survivor. What? George Clooney. You won't come talk to a cancer survivor? You can't pick up the phone? I'm not a con man. I don't want anything from you.
Well, maybe you should practice the message you're going to leave when you shoot yourself on his answering machine.
George.
You know, when he doesn't come to see you.
George, it's Don. That's it. I've decided to end it all. Where's my pool cue?
Oh, no. That's my pool cue.
Ouch. Wow. Okay, hold on, bud.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
This can't be.
What?
What? What's going on?
Rob gave me a note, and there's a call on the screen.
Uh-huh. What's the call?
I don't know. What's the note say?
That's you playing hard to get.
Oh, playing hard to get. I am playing hard to get. And this can't be true. This is a complaint call. Hello?
Hello?
Angry Whitehead?
Hello, Don and Mike. How are you, bigoted bastards?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, you know, you can make fun of Jimmy the Greek, you can make fun of Rush Limbaugh for making fun of blacks, but you have no problem with disparaging the whole Catholic religion and every Catholic in the world.
That's right. That's right. We do it equally for everybody.
I am a Catholic, and I grew up in a Catholic church, and I knew a lot of people in my own family. In my own family, I knew a lot of people that would make comments. I'm not saying every Catholic is like that.
I am.
Exactly what you said.
I am. That was me. That was me, Don, and I said it. Every Catholic person.
You said it.
Every Catholic, including you.
Well, you know, I'm not even Catholic.
Well, then what do you give a crap? What religion are you?
Converting to Catholicism, you jerk.
What?
I'm converting to Catholicism, you jerk, because my wife and my kids are Catholic.
I grew up around certain South Boston Irish Catholics that would use the N-word quite a bit. And that's why I said what I said. I'm not saying every Catholic is like that.
This guy's serious.
Well, that's not what you said on the air, dumbass.
Hey, dumbass.
What you said on the air.
Dumbass, hold on a second.
Catholic, let's laugh if we get a black pope.
I stand by that.
I think that, why don't you let somebody get a word in?
Hey, ass. Here's a quick question. Here's a quick question. Do you understand? Do you understand the context of the show you're calling, really? Do you understand that you're not calling this week with David Brinkley?
Oh, no kidding. I'm calling two fat white boys who, you know, think they can get away with saying anything over the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I know exactly who I'm calling.
Hey, slow down a second. I'm the guy you want to talk to.
Oh, there you go. But you special effects.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
I don't need anybody.
Listen, the point of whether this is a comedy show or not,
get back on the air.
It's irrelevant. Did you hear me?
Come on, little white fat boys, let's get back on the air.
Why must you call me white? Why are you so obsessed with my skin color?
Because you disparage... You guys are the biggest bigots and the biggest racists.
Your mom sucks a mean tailpipe.
And are the stereotypical blacks, and you think it's funny, and then...
I know what's funny.
Talk about Rush Limbaugh.
Your mom
made an off-color joke. You know,
he didn't make a joke. We never said it was a joke.
And Rush Limbaugh told me today... When Rush Limbaugh, and incidentally, you're speaking to Satan now.
Right.
When Rush Limbaugh and I were double-teaming your mother today, he had her from behind, and I had her up front.
You guys are the great debaters.
He said, some idiot without a sense of humor is going to call your show today.
What are you going to do to him, Satan?
I've got a great sense of humor.
I've already planted my seed about race.
No qualms about disparaging Catholics.
F Catholics.
Racist and big.
F the Catholics.
And laughing your
mouth. F the Catholics.
That is Satan talking.
F the Catholics. Ooh, this is cringe radio. Ooh, shocking.
You know.
Pull it out your ass, you loser.
I'm trying to debate two little kids.
Yeah, there. That's the first thing you said that was true.
Little kids.
That is the first thing you said that was true, you dumbass.
Right.
What are you going to start calling me names?
Dumbass. Dumbass. I'm calling you names right now, dumbass.
You are a disgrace to all Catholics. Yeah. Even black Catholics hate you.
They haven't let me in yet.
Well, I hope they don't.
Well, they may not.
Good.
I'm sure
we don't need you.
And God hates you, too.
Yes, Don. And how many churches have you been kicked out of?
One, the Catholic Church, because I've committed the moral sin of getting divorced.
Why don't you go buy a big parking space and see if some church will let you in?
I'd be fine with the Episcopals.
You're an agenda caller.
Hey, why don't you listen to the show every day and compulsively get your jerk on?
Yeah, why don't you go try to screw the priest's wife? You know, that seems to be your M.O.
Boy, you got
really?
Issues, pal.
How do I...
I've listened to your show, Joe.
And when did you hear me say that I screwed the priest's wife?
You had the hots for your last priest's wife.
Yeah, she was a beautiful woman. She was a beautiful woman, yes.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
It just shows the sick mind that you have.
What's sick about saying a woman's attractive? Just because she's married to a...
You want to do this.
Just because she's been... Oh, well, why do you listen? Why do you listen?
You're great.
Why do you listen?
You couldn't ask anybody if you didn't have an...
Listen, I tell you what. I've made a vow on this show that we're going to try to do a humor-related show. We'll try to have fun with you. If you really want to physically challenge me, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll talk to you during the commercial.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's a great idea. Let's both talk to him during the commercial. Shut up.
So
I think your time is over.
Stay on hold if you really want, because I know our audience is sick of hearing this.
I've never heard physically.
Shut up.
You don't even.
La 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 la.
If you want a physical challenge.
6'4", 280.
All right, listen. All right. Hi, your voice. Hey. Hey, your voice is not on the radio. Where would you like to meet? Ellicott City. I can't make it there. You got to come here. You little wussy. Meet you halfway? No, come to Fairfax. You know where I work. Come on. You listen to the show every day. What a little pussy. All right, I'll meet you halfway. Where do you want to meet? You name it. Tell me where to meet. Because you're the one, you want to beat my ass. Ellicott City and 175. Where should we meet? Tell me what time. There's a what parking lot? A Target parking lot. Ellicott City at 175? All right, what time? You're there right now? Great. What kind of car are you driving? How do I find you? What kind of car are you driving? A Ford Explorer with Maryland tags? What color is the car? It's blue. All right, and you're in the parking lot? All right, I'll be there by 8:30. I will. Little pussy. He's calling me a little pussy now. I'm a show-off. I know it. I'm rich. Yeah. And you just really, you want to beat my ass. You're just as rich as me. Now, Mike, he's just as rich as me, and I'm a little faggot.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, I'm going to put him back on the air now.
Hold on.
He's still going to listen to this guy. Listen to this guy. This guy's actually funny. All right, so you're just as rich as me, and I'm a little faggot, and you're going to beat my ass tonight at the Target in Ellicott City.
You got it.
Because I made a joke about Catholics.
No, because you're a bigot, and you challenged me to the fight, dickhead.
No,
you're
never.
The one that just,
never.
I'll kick your ass. So you take me off the air and say, look,
I never said it.
Before. Oh, God.
We're trying real hard to stay away
it's
from
this. It's been so happy.
We're trying hard. He's funny. That's good. Hey, anybody in the area, though, stop by and say hi to that guy. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Never speak of this again. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Darren, I was bragging about how good we were doing all the time.
Yeah, well, look, that's what happens sometimes.
We got all jammed up there. Just let it be known for the record, I didn't challenge the guy to a fight.
No.
I'm trying to drop that from the repertoire.
Yeah, we got to calm down.
But I did want to get the guy to say what he was. I feel like the whole thing might have been a setup.
Yeah.
Just might have been.
Who knows?
Just might have been one of those guys that likes hearing his voice on the radio.
Absolutely. It might have been we call them professional arguers.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's our friend Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, the naughty cheerleaders. The University of Scranton has gotten an anonymous letter that says the basketball team's cheerleading squad was planning a hazing. The initiation ritual, it said, would take place Friday, and that all new members are being forced to attend. It says the new cheerleaders have been told they would have to drink until they get sick, and that they would then have to perform oral on a male athlete.
Yeah.
Newbies who failed to comply, according to the letter, would have their lives made difficult. The letter says the coach was there as the cheerleading captains told the newbies that cooperating was the only way they could earn respect.
Welcome to Burbank University.
Wow.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Jesus.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time. No. That's it. We got to go.
No.
We did okay today. We'll try to do better tomorrow.
Here, here. We'll try.
We'll see you then with the all-new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Good day to you, sir. Hey.
Hey, I got to get to cheerleading practice. BM.
Eater, everybody.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.